جاي القاضي وانت ليه بتقولي ولا تعمل نفسك ولا تفكر
The other people that have got his brother and his sister have to accompany him to go home at Fort Beaufort to meet with the Truman Prince there. So, JJ, our sympathy on behalf of the committee, sympathy to you, and then you will inform us of the other arrangements at a later stage. Honourable members, the other person was in admitted in hospital for a week was Graham McKenzie, but he's up and running, and then but he has lost 4 kg, so he's nice and thin and light, but he has recovered very well from the hospital. So thanks, McKenzie, for coming. And then I've been trying to get hold of you. Your phone was off. I suspected that there's something not right. It's good that you came back from the hospital. And I think, you know, again, that we lost the DG, and all of us were in that memorial service and at the funeral. Thank you very much for attending that memorial service and the funeral for the DG. It was something that has happened to us very quick and then unexpected. Especially me, after talking to the DG on the 23rd at 8:30 in the morning, and 3 days down the line, then the DG passed away. So thanks for going to support the DG's family. Comrades and honorable members, today we are handling the strategic plan of our Department of Sports and Recreation. Normal in terms of the rules, the minister is leading the delegation of department to present the strategic plan. The minister is going to give us a political thrust of this strategic plan and show us how the strategic plan is going to impact on the job creation, the strategic plan, the money that is requested on this strategic plan is going to be optimally used for creating a better life. And one of the most central things to talk to the State of the Nation address by the President of the Year of the Job Creation. But again, on the development of sport in total. So thank you, Comrade Minister. This is a welcome and your first strategic plan this year. So all members are keen to hear where we're going on this strategic plan, and then what are the issues there that the Comrade Minister is putting forward. But tomorrow, Comrade Minister, there will be, again in terms of the rules, there will be public hearing of stakeholders that are going to talk on whether this budget, its outcome, has an impact on sports in general in the country. So we've invited quite a few of those people. South African Rugby Union, South African Football Association, which has development wing, and many of those, and even the NGOs that are dealing with sports, municipalities that are dealing with facilities which they have the IG in their competence. So the outcome of the public hearing is going to be consolidated and be tabled to the House, and it goes to the ACT. So it will be important that the Congress Minister should, as soon as it's passed, and go through and check what are the issues raised by stakeholders there, and then if there are those things that the Minister has to attend on, and the recommendations for committees, and then because some of them will impact on the working of the minister. So, but as soon as it's out there, I will quickly give the minister a call. The report is on the ACT, the department can access it, and then because it will only be a report as soon as it's adopted by parliament, and then it's on the ACT. Then on the 13th, it's our sports and recreation budget debate. 30th of April. It's going to be extended public committees. We don't know which chamber are we going to be given, because they want to finish quickly the budget so that we go on recess for the election. So time and again, when there is a matter that is urgent, Parliament goes on extended committees. It tends to have 10 committees a day, 10 committees the following day, so that quickly we must finish the budget. So Comrade Kirk knows that, and Comrade Deputy Minister knows too. So we will be having those debates. They have not given us our minutes. They will communicate with the Parliamentary Liaison Officer, the time for the Ministry, and the time for the Portfolio Committee. So I will communicate with everybody around those debates. But for now, 13th and 6th is even running on the notice there. So comrades must prepare, and honourable members must prepare for that budget. Thank you very much. Comrade Minister, we're going to give over to you to take us through to your strategic vision for the department for 2011-2015. And then so that at least there will be questions from members of clarity. But as soon as there are no questions, we'll release your Comrade Minister. Then we are going to remain with the department. And tomorrow, I don't think that if the department has an urgent matter to do, that all of you can remain. You can remain one or two people for whatever problems that things are going to be there. But it is going to be the public hearing tomorrow. Because we don't have a day. We're only having tomorrow. All committees are given one day. Usually public hearings goes for 5 days. Because of time, we're having a day. So we're starting tomorrow at 8. We're finishing at 10 o'clock in the evening. The following day, the committee secretary must deal with the report. On the second day, must clean the report and bring it to me, and then it must be over. So we apologize for being congested and running against time. It's how the announcement of the election has put us in a little bit of a tight situation. So I'm going to give over to Comrade Minister. It doesn't need an introduction to all of you. He was here for the first meeting, so we'll give him over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Members. I wish to extend my gratitude for this opportunity to give a strategic perspective on the Strategic Plan 2011-2015 of the Department of Sports and Recreation, South Africa. The strategic plan is one of our planning tools which provide a macro-strategic imperative on how we seek to benchmark our programs in order to attain sustainable organizational excellence. The strategic plan is predicated on our new vision, our new roadmap for optimal performance. This roadmap is an integrated and wholesale strategy to reposition the department and engender functional efficiencies and accelerated service delivery. It is a compendium to transform the department into an agile, athletic, and responsive institutional architecture. It epitomizes a new paradigm, a new energy of a vibrant epoch in managing sports and recreation in South Africa to confront a complex set of challenges with much vigor, vibe, and vitality. The strat plan gives concrete credence to the six areas of the roadmap, namely 1, accelerating transformation, 2, rekindling and revitalization of school sport, 3, remodeling the institutional architecture of the department, 4, fostering mass participation, 5, reinvigorating the recreation cohort, and 6, mobilizing sufficient funds and funding for optimal program execution. We are hopeful that with this new vehicle, we will be able to deal with the tripartite challenge afflicting the department, which is 1, lack of an integrated long-term cognitive horizon based on practical time-bound benchmarks, 2, the lack of an integrated program of focus, particular on recreation, and 3, the lack of sufficient skills formation and capacity at senior level linked with the lack of adequate financial and funding resources. By the same token, this trust plan focuses on unlocking the real value of the department's mandate, that of occupying the center stage both in policy and practical programmatic implements to ensure that many South Africans as possible have access to sport and recreation activities, particularly those disadvantaged communities. Concurrently, the department will sharpen its resolve to support the increase in international sports successes by strengthening performances at all levels of participation. This year, we will be hosting a national sports endeavor, a sports sector forum that will provide an elaborate frame for the national sports plan to guide South African sport. This endeavor will also emerge with an architecture for a transformation charter to assist in a sustained and integrated transformation framework. Equally, various policies and legislative mechanisms will be overhauled during this incumbent period. However, all the above strategic programs will not be realized unless sufficient resources are made available. The department will do everything possible to secure additional financial resources, but in the main, the baseline allocation from National Treasury will have to be increased. Sport is not only about playoffs and gaming. It is in the main about real economic growth and development. Many sporting events have demonstrated the power and magnitude of what can be called sports economy, can do in improving lives, foster economic integration, amplifying entrepreneurship development and sustainable livelihood. Sport is an economy. Its contribution to our gross domestic product as a country is extensive and extraordinary and continues to grow. Sport as an economy equally propels prolific social cohesion, nation building and bridging of eccentric cities, be it gender or geography, race or religion, or status or strata. Hence, its programs have to be transformative, developmental and action-based, not only to create a better life for all, but also to delivering quality athletes who are able to participate and compete at highest level. School sport remains a bedrock for talent identification and nurturing, and more importantly, mass participation in sport. In this regard, the department, we are finalizing our memorandum of agreement with the Department of Basic Education to make school sport participation and development an integral part of a total scholarship. Similarly, youth camps are our strategic anchor to social cohesion in order to ensure that young people work cooperatively across race, ethnicity, gender, geographical location, class, language, and creed. Youth camps provide such a platform for youth gatherings, networks, and programs to help to empower and promote the inclusion of disadvantaged youth, especially disabled youth, out-of-school youth, youth at risk, unemployed youth, and rural youth. Youth camps will ensure that young people are kept active, interested in life with increased self-esteem, promote patriotism, sense of citizenship, as well as nationhood. We are also engaged in discussions with the Department of Human Settlement to ensure that every special planning includes sports and recreation facilities. This process will also envisage funding for sport and recreation under municipal infrastructure grant, redirected to our department. Indeed, to achieve this epic objective demands that as Sports and Recreation South Africa, we work together in concert with all our stakeholders, including Parliament, SAFCOC, national federations, as well as our community, to ensure that we fully unlock our value proposition. We are confident that the plans put forward in this strategic plan and other epic policy documents will reap benefits for sport and recreation and the nation as a whole. Simply stated, social partnership is a swivel that anchors our common and shared vision, an impervious philosophy of working together to construct a collective and common good for all. Chairperson, in sum, our strategic plan for 2011-2015 is a continuation tool to execute our department's mandate to create possibilities to enable many South Africans of varied backgrounds and disciplines to have access to sport and recreation activities. in particular the marginalized communities. These are the fundamental characteristics of our developmental state, which seeks to construct a national democratic society where everyone is fully absorbed into all walks of life and functions as a productive citizen. We are under no illusion about the daunting challenges that lie ahead, but we will deal with them with greater agility, vim, and vigilance. We remain confident that this portfolio committee will work with us in what Henry A. Wallace calls a journey of certainty. I thank you.
Thank you, Comrade Mene. You can make a close reference to the green document of the strategic plan of the business. That is a political thrust of the new roadmap and how the approach of how we are going to deal with this port. And coin with that, it's not only the Department of Ports and Recreation that is going to be a leader in this sector. The invitation is the tripartite alliance. Parliament must play its oversight role in assisting the department to make sure that this roadmap is realized and to its totality. And therefore, I'm giving over. You want to say something else? I'm giving over to honorable members. Matters of the rents and cents and all those other things, leave them. We'll ask them to Sumaya. As policy issues, as some of the things that you think the privilege of having the minister here is going to assist you to be able to get the answers and all of us move on the same wavelength and the same direction. Donald, you have there. Mackenzie, too. Yes, Donald.
Chairperson, firstly, let me take this opportunity to welcome the minister to this sort of portfolio to this committee. You know, Mr. Minister, this is an important, a very, very important ministry. Some of us really underestimate the importance of this ministry. There are many people in South Africa that really don't appreciate this ministry, and some of them say that there really shouldn't be a ministry of sport. I, on the other hand, Chairperson, you know that how firmly I believe in this ministry. Because this is about the youth, this is about the future of our country. Therefore, Mr. Minister, Hefty is an old man at the job, and the man sitting there in front, he is also quite an old man. So, and I'm not so young either. I'm so new either. So I think we will make a very, very good issue. We should make a very good team. Because this is about the youth of South Africa. This is about all youth of South Africa. Mr. Minister, about 3 months ago, I received a call from somebody. And in fact, it was an ANC person. And this is what he said. He said, Donald, you should be really happy with the sound that this new minister is making. I said, yeah. I said, yes, you, because the things that you believe in, the man is saying the same thing. So, but they say, Mr. Minister, and in fact, I'm happy with the sound that you are making. But they say that, you know, what about speaking or what? About money buys the whiskey. But it's cheap. Talking cheap. But money buys the whiskey. I just wanted to say black. But because Jeffers, I don't know liquor, but it's about black what?
Blue label.
But the point, the fact of the matter is, Jefferson, that I like the sound that I'm hearing, and because I'm telling you, that is the road that we really should travel if we really want to develop sport in this country of ours. Now, the last point, Chairperson, but all this is about money. Because we are going to talk about rand and cents this morning. And I don't want to talk about petty amounts or very small amounts. Because I don't think we can really, from the bottom side, we can really fund the development of sport in South Africa. And therefore, the minister mentioned in his speech somewhere about finding extra money. And I think, Chairperson, we can use this committee too to help find that extra money. And I think a big source or that extra money should be the lotto money, the lotto. That is a big source, because they roll over billions of rands every year, Chairperson. I think the time has come that those billions can go into the development of sport. So I'd love to know if he has ideas of how we will find this extra money and what the sources are, Chairperson. Thanks.
Honourable Mackenzie.
Thank you, Chairperson. To the Minister and Deputy Minister, a warm welcome, and it's fantastic to see them here. Minister, I just want to say, I want to echo what Donald has been saying, is that the words that have been coming from your ministry are extremely encouraging, and I think what's been very apparent is the huge amount of enthusiasm and energy which has come to the department and the ministry. And with some of your viewpoints that you've been taking, you need to know that you'll have broad-based support on both sides of the aisle. There's no doubt about that. But Minister, just getting specific on one or two things. We have for a long time argued that this ministry shouldn't be in the social cluster, but should be in the economic cluster. And I think Donald just touched on it again a little bit. But seriously, the contribution to GDP in this country via sport is massive. And the influence of sport in terms of nation building and social cohesion is vastly underestimated when one compares the amount of funds allocated in this budget. So I think that's a challenge. And Donald also touched on Lotto, and I read this morning in the Business Day that there's a gentleman who's sent a letter to the Lotto board outlining how many billions, not millions, are lying unused there. And I think it's a crying shame when Lotto was really designed in the first place to help sport and other NGOs, which we all know about. So we would like your input there. And then finally, very interested in seeing your roadmap. And Minister, I'd just like to know from you how that roadmap was developed, the architecture behind that roadmap, because I think we all identified with it strongly, and I think these six key strategic goals are outstanding, and I think it really hits on the points that we need to work on. Thank you.
Suka.
I must appreciate the input by the Minister in terms of the new roadmap. The thing that shatters in the key tragic thrust of this document is on page 2 on that paragraph, on the six areas for the roadmap. And I would like to take only two out of the six for me to for the department to look into it very seriously, because the department could not implement its beautiful program and statement because of, I think the minister is spot on when he has pointed out the two that I wanted to raise them right now. The one on the optimal performance, and the second one, the remodeling of the institution. Of the remodeling of the institution. I think that has got a direct impact on the structure of the department, on the vacancy rates, on the acting capacity of the department. So I think if we get our things right, things will just roll on, will follow. That because as long as you don't have a structure or your systems are not in place, you will talk until don't come. So I'm impressed that you have diagnosed the problem. And one of them is this issue of the remodeling of the institution. And the sooner we do it, because it has got also a direct impact on what the president says, actually, in all vacant posts, and surely there should be time frame around that. Maybe a rider to that one would be, then you'll talk also about the transformation, accelerating transformation in the of our sport in general. So I'm quite happy chapter 3 about that matter. But the one issue that I understand the minister also raised the question of the sports endowment. Now, my problem is that there has been a sports endowment just 18 months ago, and I don't know the progress towards those resolutions. If you remember, the department, those who were there, are you overriding those resolutions because they were never implemented to me? In fact, there was a difficulty of getting the resolutions of those that endowment resolutions. So I hope that Minister, we will not be falling into a trap to go to endowment and issues are not carried out. Otherwise, it will be pathology for nothing. The other issue, chapter 9, I think it has been raised by the two former previous gentlemen, the contribution by sports in the GDP of the country. And what we get, I don't think it augurs well with us. Surely, if you want to talk about the transformation and getting your department and the sports bodies agile, as the term is used here, or active, you need to have support tools to do that. One is to give us the tools so that we finish off the job. I think that was useful all day. So if we can't give the department the tools to finish off the job, surely those beautiful ideas will fall flat. So I'm saying that there should be a serious interaction with the department that is having the test to have a rethink on the matter around our contribution in as far as the GDP is concerned. Especially throughout the year, there's no breaking spot. Because it goes on and on from one season to another. We need to look into that if we want to overcome and close the gap. Because the minister is talking about the eccentric spots vis-à-vis the rural. To what extent would you bring the rural spots, would you develop the spots in the rural to at least to come closer or nearer to the high performance sports? I don't think we do have a clear strategy as long as we don't have funds in that. My last question is on the memorandum of understanding that has been raised here. They are saying they should they enter into the basic education department to finalize that MOU. Now, maybe I would want to have a clearer understanding what does that mean. Because in the past, there was an engagement and between the National Minister of Basic Education and the Minister of Sports around the MOU. But it just ended at that level. What is new that is going to come out so that really we see fruits out of that memorandum of understanding? I understand the part of saying it will take some time, maybe around the physical education, to be included in the curriculum of our schools. So I just want some little bit expansion so that I clarify my mind around the memorandum of understanding. It will be finalized in due course. What does that mean? Thank you, Chapter 3.
Thank you for your strategic plan. The one issue which I want to kick off is from this sports endeavor, Minister. I was part of that sports endeavor. And as Comrade Sugar says, that the resolutions of those of that sports endeavor and the implementation of them, I think before we go to the second sports endeavor, it will be proper for the Minister to get those resolutions. Because these people are going to raise these issues which were raised there in Devon in August. And so that we don't come in with a repetition and then we just don't do the work really. The other thing which I want to raise, Minister, is the issue of your transformation charter. I think this transformation charter should be a coordinated thing because if you look at the federations, each one has got its own interpretation and its own freedom. I mean, I don't understand the freedom charter. This transformation charter. And they don't speak to each other, Minister. And now we talk in terms of transforming sports in general. So if you can really get us into one room so that we can understand that thing from the same hymn, when we talk about transformation and what do we mean by transformation. The other issue, Minister, is the issue of your youth camps. One appreciates this idea of the youth camps, but if the Minister can just elaborate a bit, how are we going to do it, and the coordination of that thing as well. Thank you.
You still want to say something?
Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, members of the committee and the department. I've been partly covered, but I still feel that one should firstly thank the
Minister and Beta Pacific.
Put
on a camera, go Mrs. Libenia.
No, the university is
I think he assumed that the minister knows me. well, I'm Pat Libenian Dance. I was saying, Chairperson, as much as I think my colleagues who spoke before me have partly covered me, but I think I should firstly thank the minister and also applaud the idea that the minister is coming forth with. But I think the main issue is the issue of implementation, Minister. That is what all of us are concerned about, that we can have the best ideas, but if they are not implemented and if the strategies to implement them are not clear, then we would have failed our young people. But the point that I would like to put emphasis on is the issue of school sports, revitalizing school sports. Minister, I think... all of us, because you are young yourself, have got a hope that things will really materialize, especially in that, you know, department. My concern has always been, how are we going to close the gap between rural schools and the former Model C schools in terms of facilities, in terms of exposure for young people to be able to play various sports codes, not just soccer and netball. As we know, in Fubani, the minister, they have never, where I come from, they have never been exposed to any other form of sport except netball and soccer. And we hope that you will come up with strategies. And while we appreciate the fact that there's going to be the proposed municipal infrastructure grant to assist, but one feels that those programs take years. What can the minister assure us that something will be done, you know, during this period, which is 2011 to 2015? For instance, if we are saying we are going to ensure that school sport is revitalized, what training is going to be given to our educators in rural areas? How is it going to be done? What is going to be done to ensure that it happens? Because you cannot just say you will put facilities, you will ensure that sport is prioritized. If our teachers do not have the relevant skills to assist our pupils, then that would be a futile exercise. Those are the concerns that one has a minister. And also on the issue of policy formulation in terms of this school sport campaign, how far are we as a department? Thank you, Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Comrade Minister. Is there anybody who wants to ask a question? Nothing. Comrade Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. First to say that I think the Deputy Minister will speak at length with regard to the sports endeavor. We've assigned him within the Ministry the task to coordinate the preparations for that. At a strategic and political level, what we seek to achieve with this, more than just a talk show, is action oriented, in the sense that we want to achieve a national, at the end of it, a consolidated national sports plan for South Africa going forward. With regard to the first question from Honorable Donald, extra money in terms of the lotto. We ourselves were in the process of engaging with lotto in terms of beginning to redefine as to how money through the lotto is actually distributed, because it's a matter that ourselves were physically looking at, because we think that the lotto money must speak to our national objectives. It must not just be a money distribution scheme without speaking to the objectives of what we want to achieve in sport. But you will find that every person applies for money, gets the money only to get the money to buy one school bus in Alexander and claim to be training kids in cricket. But yet at the end of the day, we're not speaking, if we talk about the roadmap for optimal performance and excellence, that money in terms of lotto must be redirected in terms of our priorities. So that is really the key objective, so that when we evaluate at the end of the year or 2015, we should be saying part of the funding that went to lotto, like for instance, there are artificial pitches that have been built. I went to open an artificial pitch on top of another artificial pitch here in Western Cape. When I arrived there, I said, but why do you build a pitch on top of another pitch? I mean, I couldn't get the answer. What is it? There's a big pitch there.
Yeah.
And then there was another pitch that I went to open there. So I only realized, but I said, rural people don't have this thing. Why do we go and build a pitch on top of another pitch? Now it was like people just want to spend money. That's what exactly what I'm talking about. So because I think deep there in the rural areas in the Karoo, people will need that artificial pitch. Now I drove here and I arrived there and built a pitch on top of another pitch. And then there was television, it's fine. It looks like we're delivering, but we're just spending money. And to me, I think... That's not what we want for this county. The point again is that we've got so many facilities here in South Africa. Some of them are dilapidated and are falling apart. And then instead of spending money to renovate those that we have, we're basically spending money on something that is not durable. And I think these are some of the things that we need to actually look at. But also funding. There's lots of funding in terms of social responsibility programs in the private sector. And a reservoir of goodwill for us to spend that money in building facilities. And we've been approached. And part of the work that we're going to be doing in building up to this port in Durban is to basically get all big corporate companies in South Africa to outline their plans in terms of specifically what do they want to do with regard to sports? Not just to sponsor for commercial interest, but using social responsibility fund to develop sports. Once we outline to them our plans in terms of the roadmap and our strat plan and so on and so on. So there are many areas where we can. But I think from a point of government and the fiscal, we're starting now to build a case for sports. In South Africa, people say, no, if we don't give money to sports, the country will never fall apart. But if we don't give money for housing and water, the country will come to a standstill. Now, I think the point is that we need to basically build a case for sport, and I think we've got support, and the viewpoints that have been expressed here are quite encouraging. Mr. McKenzie, I think that if you look at the roadmap, page 20, I think there's a clear outline in terms of the process. So I refer you for ease of your reference to page 20 in terms of the outline of the processes that have been followed in developing this strat plan. Yes, it is very elaborate. The third one is from Honorable Suka. Remodeling, we're dealing with that particular question. We're very clear that we'll not be in a position to implement everything here unless if the department is properly capacitated. If you look at the Sports and Recreation Department, department is like a directorate, not a department. You've got a lot of chief directors there. In fact, in the department, you only have a DG and a COO at the level of the DDG. The rest of the people, in terms of structure and the organogram, fall way side in terms of what we seek to achieve. So part of the work that we're doing is to look into the question of the capacity in the department and looking into the new organogram. And that is what we're further agreeing. Sports Indaba, I agree with you, it must not be a repetition, it must be action-oriented and all of that. Memorandum of Understanding. You know, there is something that we found when we get here, that there was, with regard to the implementation of school sports, there was a territorial battle, a tough battle between sports and recreation, and that is continuing. What is funny about this thing is that the Department of Education is allowing everybody, Tom, Dick, and Harry, to get to the department, take kids to many competitions, which are not speaking to the development of sport. We are not going to the schools to simply promote sport for extramural activities. We want young people at the school to develop talent. That's what we want. We want at the end of the day to develop athletes for the Olympics out of a school's program. We're not just going there to promote extramural activities. You cover 18 schools, you say that is school sport. That's not school sport. And then what we're trying to say to them is that, look, sport is our competency. Our task in this country, working with the federations, is to develop talent. Corporate companies and everybody else, they talk school sport. Literally everybody from football to rugby. They'll tell you how many kids they train in cricket, but they produce zilch. We want in this country a national program of school sport Olympics, where in which working with federations, they can go there and tap talent. Where development of an athlete in terms of the school's program is rudimentary in its very nature, up until the national level. Competition-driven, clear, transparent delivery program. Because there is a great disparity in South Africa in terms of your North Sea schools and Model C schools. The reason why Model C schools are succeeding is that to them, developing sport is not the event. That's why most of the best rugby players and the cricket players come through their programs. We can't produce a thing in the township, but we've got kids who love cricket, who love all what we produce in the township school is footballers, and then we can't even produce swimmers, and yet we've got schools. We've got more than 30,000 schools in this country, and this Department of Education has never produced even a single talent out of those schools, but people have actually come through voluntary programs and parochial programs there and there. You've got Danan producing footballers, and then you've got F&B now with football, and then you've got Standard Bank, because they are under pressure to spend on their corporate social investment. Now, if they want to produce and they want to invest in school sport, let them come to the ministry and the federation, and then let them invest in the school sport program that is comprehensive. We want, by the end of this month, to launch school sport. The memorandum that we're talking about is the one that straightens up the question of clarifying as to what is it. We are aware that there was a memorandum, but what we're developing at the present moment is moving towards implementation. Let's talk more implementation. By end of this year, we must be running not less than 5 sporting codes in all the 30, not 18 schools. That does not even make a dent. You know, if you look at UK, in terms of their budget cuts, one of the major things in terms of protest that aggravated protest from society was the cutting of the budget on school sport. And then the question was, if you say we must cut a budget on school sport in this country, what are we going to do our kids? You say we must produce track lots. We must produce sacks. Because this is what we're doing in this country. The kids are lumbering in the streets without any activity. and that those are funded to even clarify questions of facilities, because the Department of Education tell us straight and say, look, our priority is not to build facilities when we build the school. It's to build the school. If you want facilities, it's another question. That is not our priority. You people must bring money. We say, yes, we bring money, but it's not just money, but also to train kids. And let's speak into the questions of the curriculum, how it's coordinated. We're not going to the schools to disrupt. We're going there to identify talent, to have working programs and leaks. Learning also from the Model C schools. How do they have a successful sporting programs in their different... So we're not engaged in a war talk and chat battle. And we're prepared to fight for this because it's our competence. And if it's not going to be resolved by political principles, the president must intervene. We are sick and tired of entertaining a corridor talk about school sport. It must be implemented, finished, and plan. And that's what we want. And everybody must be clear about that particular point from all cycles. In terms of the resolutions of the last sports in Durban, Honorable Cora, the Deputy Minister will speak to that, youth camps. The concept of the youth camps is a concept really that is about nation building and building bridges of dialogue amongst young people. And that also will happen during school holidays, because that is critical in terms of building a young nation, but at the same time, instilling patriotism without indoctrination amongst the youth. I think we're looking at rolling out that particular concept at the later stage this year. I agree with Honorable Libenya about the implementation strategy, if we develop the strategies, the main problem is in the implementation. We're changing how government does things. If you look at our strat plan and the roadmap, we could be running all over, but we have tried to reduce to six things that we think are deliverable. It does not mean that these six is the only thing that we seek to do. It means there are many other areas, but we want to be effective, and we must be judged on the basis of this in the main. And we were trying to compress all the other elements into these 6 points. I think I've addressed the question of the gap between rural and Model C. And the question of what we seek to do with school sport is also to perfect our policy with regard to school sport implementation, because we want to go big with regard to school sport in South Africa, because school sport come with all elements in it, you know, development, nurturing of talent, and all of that, and so on. So these are some of the things that we're basically looking at. I give the Deputy Minister to speak to the question of, if, with your permission, to the question of the sports in Gambia.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Minister, Honourable Chairperson, members of the committee. The sports in Daba envisages to, from the updated white paper which we now have, to say this is the policy agreed to. That's the white paper. But somewhere that document, which is a policy document, must become an active working plan. We have never had a sports plan. So the minister directed that we engage in a process to involve all stakeholders, so that we have, for instance, Cora speaks about the transformation charters. One country, one charter. We have engaged ASCOP, and through them the stakeholders, to arrive at the position where we will have a transformation charter for discussion, with that a scorecard, so that we speak from one voice in one country, so that we don't have different emphasis on that. But more than that, the sports plan must enable the minister, when he engages for more money, to build the case for sport. We have in the past not had a very strong case for sport. But if you listen to the inputs from the honorable members of the committee, you talk about the economic impact we have. The question is, where's the sports plan to mine and to build the case for sport when we talk about that? So we envisage a chairperson to, on the 24th, this is Thursday this week, when we have the MINMEC, under the auspices of our minister, to launch the dates and the process of the sports Indaba. What we have done is taken the resolutions that are outstanding, taken what it is that we want to achieve in terms of a charter, a transformation charter, talking to sports tourism, sport for peace and development, sport for the environment, those enablers that are building the case for sports, school sport, all that goes with that, into a framework document without saying this is what we say must be. Having a website where we invite, and there will be a vigorous program where the minister is going to talk, and I will also talk from time to time in the media, getting the population to speak to what they want to see in that sport plan on the website. On the 16th of April, we envisage to go to the SASCOC General Assembly, where we'll now be discussing with the federations and those involved in deep what it is that we want to see in the sports plan, how we want to see alignment, where we want to go to in the process. On the 11th of June, simultaneously one day, right throughout the country, to have provincial sports in Davos, where we now know there will be sports councils up to provincial level, everybody in the sporting fraternity, and that day to speak to the documents that we will producing to them once we've now taken every comment that we got on the website and from all quarters into a document, a working document. It's envisaged that by the 23rd of July, the minister will announce that later on, the details of that, but that we have a decent national sports in Indaba, where we then agree with the people in the sporting sector on a working document which is called the sports plan, which will enable the minister to make the case for sport, but furthermore would assist in aligning the budgets. For instance, Comrade Chair, we allude to that in the draft plan on page 12, the provincial sports competence. We understand very well that Schedule 5 of the Constitution gives guidance to certain things, and provinces are not here. This Honourable Committee knows me very well. I will never say something, Minister, behind the person's back. You know, but we must speak straight here. We know that in the past, Honourable Members, we are in shackles. We go to a budget vote. We are told we get this money. But as we speak there, we also know, this percentage of this money, according to the previous census on the DORA grant, will go to these provinces. But the very moment you walk out of the MINMEC meeting where we've agreed on the way forward, you'll find the one province saying they can, but no, we're the home of champions. We're going to spend the money that way. This other province is saying, no, we have put emphasis on this. You find an alignment and a total lack of contribution from the provinces to the budget of the provinces. So we, on the way to the Indaba, we said, no, we understand this bottleneck. We have appointed the task team, small task team, to come with a plan so that whatever we say in the sports plan is not good on paper, but can speak even to the metros out there. So, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, under the direction of the Minister, to sum up, we say we have an updated policy called the White Paper, completed, consulted over 3 years. We need to take policy to practice on measurables, but in such a way that, Minister, when you walk out there and you say, that is my sports plan, we know 3 months down the line, we are not going to be told by provinces you are speaking against Treasury regulations or whatever the case may be, or they quote Schedule 5 of the Constitution to us. No, it must be able to be implemented up to grassroots level. In other words, even in municipalities. This is why we have SALGA involved in this process, so that we align according to the instruction by the minister. To end off, Honorable Chairperson, the minister did express the wish, which we fully support. The case for sport flowing from the Indaba must not be theoretical jargon. It must be a practical working tool where we can speak from one mouth towards the road forward, informing the baseline allocation and budget. It may be, Chairperson, honorable members, that once we've completed the sports plan and it's there, it may be that people are going to say in the media, yeah, these guys are aspirational, they don't have the budget yet to do what they want to do. So be it then. Because we will be building the case for sport, and even if we have to do it incrementally to achieve what we say we want to achieve, we have to do that. Now, I envisage, Honorable Minister, Honorable Chairperson, members, that once we launch this framework document on the website, that the hive of activity from all corners will give input. We will have to rework that, accommodate that, and see what is achievable, so that when we come to the SASCOC meeting and to the provincial Indabas, we have accommodated all corners. It does not mean that if you live in Bronkhorstspruit or in Botshabelo or in Waterkloof, and you're not somewhere aligned in the sports structures, that you don't have a good idea you want to forward. We are creating that platform, and we are saying, but at the end, it will be the elected sports structures of this country, the elected SALGA official or two, to go to the sports in Daba to finally say we put the chop on the sports plan. Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, I think that's in a nutshell more or less the basis of that.
Thank you. Comrade Deputy Minister, notice the last two heads of follow-up, Mema Lebenya and Suka.
Honorable Chair, mine is a short one. I was hoping that the Deputy Minister was going to touch the trying to respond to the question that was asked by my colleague as to what progress has been made in implementing the resolution of the 2008 sports law. I would be happy if the Deputy Minister can touch on
that. Sugar, no, Chairperson, put differently. I was going to say that the Ministry must make themselves ready for that question, to say to what extent has been implemented those decisions. Well, surely those stakeholders that were there are all important in fact with those kinds of things. To what extent? Now, I will come to it. Now, the second issue, Chairperson, would be, you see, on the equitable share versus the grant, I think we need to be more vocal on the equitable share when it comes to the budget. Because normally they will say, yes, the grant, and that grant, you can't do anything much of it because it goes to government. And unfortunately, when it goes that direction to the lower sphere of government, it is being swallowed by other pressure. At your LMG, local government, the 15%. That grant is not doing anything, and yet we did speak about that in terms of our national resolution. It goes to other matters, housing and so on. So surely we need to find a way of assessing that and deal with it. But on the equitable share, maybe we'll speak on that when the time arrives, so that we check to what extent are we making an impact and increase on your budget in terms of the real funds. Because here, it does not say anything, even into your MTF. So I'm saying this issue, the GDP, that we are very common to lobby for that, to have the budget increase for the Department of Sport, is very critical. I'm just raising that matter, Chair. Thank you.
Connor, your clarity on Mema Lebenya has made it.
If you allow me. On this organogram, Minister, There are numbers here, yeah. For instance, if you look at the various programs. Now, I don't know these numbers. Are these numbers for managers or what? Because you said that this department is more directorate. Now we've got 19, 13 people into one land. So what is that? The foot soldiers, they're going to do the work on the ground. What's happening here? On page 19.
Maya, I think you. Okay. Yeah.
No, the
Minister will respond.
Yeah, no, that is not the salary scale. It's not 13.
Yes, Comrade Minister.
You don't know how to speak.
Minister, thank you so much. There was an update given to the Honourable Portfolio Committee by Dr. von der Spey, I'm told, in 2010 on the progress made. But, Minister, what we have done, and we're in the fortunate position, we have Professor Singh, who captured at that particular in Dhaba the resolution of the documentation. We've asked him to, in the sports plan going forward, it must be, we cannot ignore the history, because it's going to become be raised again. Put it in. Let's see how we're going to get and achieve what has to be achieved. That is, Comrade Chair, the short answer to the question.
Yeah, just let me just explain this. I think the sports in Dhaba that was convened, it was with a different set of objectives and what it seeks to achieve. We decided on this particular point because, among others, you see, when you talk about transformation in South Africa, 16 years into democracy, we are not one. That is why federations, they will do their own thing and others will think that they are making us, or they are making a country a favor. And they don't speak to the question. I mean, we convinced, when we are developing part of this trust plan, we engaged federations and we're asking them as the basic and fundamental question to say, what is your conceptualization of transformation? Except two or three, the rest, there was no progress. And then all of them were talking about resources, were talking about this, and that there's nobody was talking to the question of what do we mean by transformation, but at the same time, what is our program to ensure that the disadvantage in terms of the sport are actually coming to the fore. So there was no answer to that. And there was nothing that was binding across, because the question of transformation, I want to say, has actually received a backseat. And then it is, if it is addressed, it's parochial. And our focus when we talk about transformation, we think about rugby and cricket because they are the most lucrative and exposed. And every time they participate in the World Cup, we think, oh, Kuko is a busy transformation. And then we then forget swimming. We forget all these other things, hockey and all of that. And then, and then the people who were able to speak clearly about transformation was netball. Were able to say to us, Sisay Bambile, we are still on track and this is what we are doing. And then all of them, they could not tell you. And then the only thing that they talk about transformation is quotas. No, quotas and all of that. There's no clarity with regard to this question of transformation. So part of the point about sports in Dhaba, we said that this week, is just that this week will not have a MINMEC, but we're going to launch a perspective through the MINMEC on the question of transformation. Let's have a dialogue as South Africans. This question of transformation and participation of the disadvantaged in advanced sports in terms of South Africa has actually been reduced to racial polarization.
Yeah.
That no, you know, blacks can't swim because they were born like that, they can't swim, you know. And the fundamental question is that we're not equally exposed to resources. So the point that I'm raising is that, to give an example, is that
we say let's have a decent and a robust political debate in a perspective about transformation. What do we mean by transformation in South Africa today? And this is what we wanted to do this week. But because we are going to India for the cricket on Friday, we'll have to do it next week. But we want that discussion, kick-starting a process towards the sports endeavor. Let's have an agreement. Even in football, what do we mean by transformation? Because most of the kids in the Model C schools are no longer playing football. And therefore, white people also do not actually participate in football as it used to be. You know, you used to have a football club called Vest University. Mm-hmm. It was only white people who were playing in that team. Yeah. And Dion Highlands Park. but at the present moment, you've got numbers shrinking. Yeah. And then and I think if we wanted a conversation, there must be an agreement and an understanding, common perspective, what do we mean? If we say the quotas are still an answer, we've got to, they still have to be an answer in terms of transformation and forcing transformation in this country. Let's say so. And let's have a debate. And finally, not just an endless debate, but a debate that is going to arrive at a common perspective that will be agreed by everybody and adopted at the Sports Indaba. So this Sports Indaba, among others, is about, it's really about that. Of course, there has to be a review about what resolutions, to an extent that they impact on the current objectives in the convening of the second Sports Endow. We'll have to look at what are some of the resolutions. If the last Sports Endow reflected on transformation, we then have got to answer the question equally. What is it that the federations have done that speaks to transformation in South Africa? Thank you.
No, Comrade Minister, JJ, you're getting hot. The Minister is putting energy in you.
Yes.
Let me give you a one bite.
Yes, I'm happy with what the things the minister is saying and what the people were asking here. It is actually important that the Love Life program becomes also part and parcel of this whole strategic plan, because currently Love Life gets a lot of money, but you don't see it wasted down the drain. There's no sport development, schools development, and so on. So that thing must be touched. And especially to get the rural people to involve. I mean, I'm from a rural area, Karoo. SWD George has got the Astro. They don't play anymore. They don't allow the rural part to be part of it. They don't come play there because there's not an Astro facility. So hockey and those things are dead there. So it's important that we look countrywide, specific codes, the transformation and development, because hockey gets money, but they leave out the distant areas, the rural areas, because they don't want to go play there. There's no Astro facility. So we must look at the whole thing to change it, Mr. Chair.
No. Comrade Minister, thank you very much. You see, Comrade Minister, I'm excited in your braveness to be able to go to the level of this discussion around the increase for the budget for sports and recreation. I can tell you that even the former President Mbeki was willing. Because he said, take me with a hand, let us go and meet Treasury and add your case, because you have a case around sport. But there was no question of following up this will to be able to go and discuss the matter of the increase on the budget for sport. I'm happy because in an event, we raised this at a level where even the President would say, Minister, take me with a hand, let us go and meet Treasury, I will help you to argue this case. And then I'm 100% sure you will take him and then you will not waste time. Because we had an opportunity that time when we could have at least have an impact on the budget for sports and recreation. I'm happy about that. The other thing, Comrade Minister, that I want you
to raise to you. Even a week ago in our strategic workshop for a portfolio committee was raised by lottery. Minister, the issue of the conflict of interest in the lottery by Sascog, it's painful. It's painful. That matter of the conflict of interest was raised by the previous chair, and this chair raises it. Because, Comrade Minister, where people are adjudicating for these businesses are all of the members of Sascog. And if you ask them to recuse themselves, they don't form a quorum in that lottery distribution. Because it's full of Sascog people there. But it doesn't create only a problem of conflict of interest, Comrade Minister. You can talk to Prof and anybody will tell you that those that are having federations who are sitting in that lottery distribution, the resources go to their federation big time than any other federation that is there. I am sure, I don't have no doubt, that you'll be bold enough to make sure that if members of Sascog do not form part of that lottery distribution, so be it, so that at least we'll be able to equitably and fairly adjudicate on those applications for people to get a fair... We have raised this thing with the minister and the deputy minister. Even Kudok, we have not even thought that it would be coming to this minister. It has never been attended up until today. We are appealing to you because 2 weeks ago, it was raised again. We have never stopped raising this thing. Comrade will tell you, we raise it consistently because it makes other people to feel a pain of saying, how do you give such a quote, this amount of money, when you don't give such a quote that is so popular in the black community, that is having such a huge demand, you go and give to that of a father who is a president, a son is a treasurer, and a wife is a secretary, and then you give them millions of money, and then where it matters most, you don't do that. That is what is happening there in that lottery. And the chair of Sascog cannot be a referee and a player at the same time. Yes, he can be a player then, but somebody has to be a referee so that at least he must tell him that his tagging are not properly. So it was raised to us, colleague minister, on those matters. I'm happy that the colleague minister, you raised the issue of we're not saying the sports endeavor in Devon is the same as this one. But we're saying we will not allow you to go and be ambushed by people who are saying, because the very same people by accident who are likely to be part of that endeavor are going to be the people who are in that conference. Then they will say, but Comrade Minister, what you are talking about one national symbol for all federations in this country, we have agreed on it in this conference, and then where it has. So that we want you to have at least an information of some of the things that were there. You are right by saying, let's look at what's happening there, and then let's check those that we have managed to implement, and those who have not, and check whether the relevance to what we want to achieve in the new roadmap, whether it's relevant. But another little painful thing, Minister, we went to that conference in Devon. I'm not sure if there anybody who has those resolutions. We took 2 years. We have never received those resolutions. Myself as the chair of this committee, we have never received resolutions in Devon. It was said that they are busy. The person who was hired to do a consolidation for us, the ministers were saying to us, the person who was going to do consolidation for us that we've hired is a certain Professor C. So we're waiting for him to give us those resolutions back so that we can give to you, because we think we are worried about these resolutions that take years to come, because we want to see the content and the picture of those resolutions, because it is us who have discussed those resolutions there. And then if there's anybody, maybe I was absent in the committee, I want to apologize outrightly, but I've never put my hand on those resolutions, and then up until today. Now, we don't know what kind of a department that hires people. and give them money as consultants. Go and do the work for us. And that work doesn't translate to us because we're part of that conference there. And we're part of the people who are arguing there, but we never got those resolutions up until today. They were given to another chair, but to the chair of the National Assembly, they've never come to you. Maybe in the NCLP they've gone there. And but we'll be very glad, and even if you can see in the drums what are those resolutions are, so that us in the study group and you must be able to talk about whether they talk to our core of the National Democratic Revolution in the advancing the cause of our people. In what we're talking about, that you are going to be engaged on a discourse around the transformation. The white paper, Minister. You have arrived in this department, and the white paper has been put on page 11 of your strategic plan. This white paper, no one in this committee has ever laid a hand on that white paper. It is almost now a document that is finalized, that is going to be shaped also by the input that we are going to have at the sports in Durban at the end of the day. But it cannot be correct that document, a policy document of the white paper, up until today, nobody has ever laid a hand on that document, and the minister works on an assumption that all these documents, everybody has a glimpse on it, and then has even probably has interacted with you as the minister of the department around the issues of the white paper. Because that white paper is going to get its root to everybody, and then you must be there to be able to account of what that white paper is all about. Because we think the white paper is a policy document driven by our own minister, but I've never seen that white paper. And I would like to have that white paper, if it is for a public consumption, maybe it is still with the department, but in the manner in which I see elevated here, it is no more a document that is a working document in your department. It's a document that the other people have a preview on it, and then they're enriching that document. We will also be able to wish to interact on that document. The other thing, Minister, that I would like you to take into consideration. Here, you're putting it very well in your page 11 of the strategic plan. You say the South African Institute, no, you're saying the Public Finance Management Act of 1999 provides the department with a regulatory and compliance framework to prudential financial governance, accountability, and robust institutional mechanism on public finance management. Here, Comrade Minister, in the MINMEC, we have raised this matter in the MINMEC in Durban. Here, Minister, you are going to get an audit quiz again. Because here, the Division of Revenue provides for equitable division of revenue raised nationally among provincial departments of sports and recreation. When your department consolidates and closes the interaction with the Auditor General, the Auditor General consistently writes that the departments are providing your department, the provinces are providing your department with information late or at times with no information up until, he says, we wonder how this equitable share is used by provinces. But it gives us a doubt that it is used for what your department has given it to the provinces to do. So I think you have to have a very serious hold on the department, and there should be dedicated people, in our view, in your department of 9 provinces. Not 2 people dealing with 9 provinces, because you can't take everything that comes to your different provinces to account in as far as this dollar grant is concerned. But if anybody is attached to a province, is able to get into a car in the morning, go to the Free State and meet with the people in the Free State and get all these other documents and account and say, no, Free State is using this, here are the documents, and then they're fine. When we're discussing this matter at MINMEC, everybody was writing for us. The only sad part is that as soon as we have discussed that, then there was a complete reshuffle, and those people that were agreeing with us at the time, then there were new people that we have again to go and speak to them and say, the conditional grant has an impact on our department. You use it your own way, and then you don't want to account, but it's having an impact to our own department. And in terms of this money bill, one of the critical things that we're looking at, Minister, which is a requirement, is a, what is the Auditor General saying about this department that you as a portfolio committee are requesting this department to be appropriated this amount of money? And such things are arising there, and therefore I would wish you to look into those matters. But I think the department will tell you, Minister, when we've finished interacting with them, there are a number of things that I've seen that I've made underlining here, and then that we have to discuss. But in closing, we had the committee, what are these committees? The cluster committees. Unfortunately, you were in India and, no, you were, yeah, committee head was in India and then you were outside the country. But we had a very productive meeting with the Department of Education in the cluster meeting. And there's a document that they are doing, and they said that they will give to us by probably today, so that we must enrich that document, Comrade Sundi. He's saying it doesn't come stone. But the will on the department, because we're very clear about what we want to achieve, and then in around school sport, and say, in terms of our own decision that we've taken, is that the school sport belongs to the Department of Sport, and that is the end. There is no other peripheries that are there. Minister Mutseha had agreed with us. The only thing that she was worried about was that, do you have a plan of human resource that will be able to can deal with this, because we have 6,000 schools throughout the country. Are you having that kind of a resource capacity to be able to deal with those kind of things? So those are things that I'm just putting to you, that she's ready, and Comrade Sudi was ready, and they said that before that memorandum of understanding is signed, we will interact with it, even at an ANC level, and see what agreement, because we're both study groups and the clusters in that meeting. So there's a complete agreement around that. The only thing that they were worried was that, do we have manpower and human resource to be able to stretch ourselves to a number of schools, or how are we going to deal with this school sport? But there is a discussion that is there in that document, and then we'll look into it and see how do we impact on that. Because I have raised with the minister and the deputy minister that, you see, you must not have officials in the department. When the minister goes that way, and then he protects his own territory at the expense of a broader development. Because there is a man in the Department of Education, just like it was a man in the Department of Sport, who would say, but school sport, in terms of the Schools Act, is our competence, and therefore we are alpha and omega. And that kind of a thing is not right. And then this gentleman, please tell him that we have decided in this way. And there was no dissenting voice when this resolution was argued and agreed, and therefore then he said, no. We are aware of that, but it's not going to happen, because we are interacting with your minister on this matter, and as soon as we conclude and there's an agreement, and then the school sport is going to move forward. So I'm just saying, you must not have other people saying we have a discussion with them, and what kind of a discussion is those? No, they were, there was at a cluster meeting, Comrade Sipri produced a document there. Then there's an agreement of on the vision that you want the school sport to be, and then I don't want you to lose the focus, because here it becomes a territorial matter coming from officials of the department, not coming from you as the true ministry. One department official wants the buses, everything. It's about resources again. That if the school sport is with me, who are the buses that are coming there, and then what am I getting at the end, and then where are these schools going to sleep, what am I getting at the end? It's about that. It's not about development or any other thing. And we know about those kind of things. We know about those kind of things. And they must not think that when you go around and then we don't know. But we told them at some stage that, you see, this is wrong. This matter that we're doing is not correct. And then I think we must do things in a better way and ethical way. So those are things that are, but there are many of the things that we want to discuss here. We'll discuss them with the department. But
we appreciate your coming. And then thank you very much with the both of you, the Deputy Minister and the Minister. I don't think that you want to say something. You can say anything if you want to say something on what I said.
Okay. You know, people have been toppled everywhere in the Arab state, so. Because they've been in power that 30, 45 years. So I don't want to impose a no-fly zone. So I think you must enjoy it. The people of the department will get the feedback, but thank you. We will leave you in the capable hands of the people of the department. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister.
But we not object that you are so biased with your army stack today.
Okay, Minister, we'll talk about that. Let's have a comfort break for 5 minutes and come back. Then we must go straight now to the strategic plan and discuss the issues there. Department. But, I just want to inform you that members are going to talk to your presentation, but at the same time, stick to this document that has been handed to them, because they have spent sleepless nights, read this, and cross-reference with the previous strategic plan and all other things that are there. So you can present strategic plan, but at the end, don't be surprised when time and again a reference is made out to this document. Then we give it over to Sumaya, the acting HOD, to present the strategic plan now in a more detail to the portfolio committee. Thank you. Over to you, Sumaya.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson, honorable members, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. At the outset, Mr. Chairperson, I just need to indicate that the presentation is based on the detailed document. So this is just an executive summary of the strategic plan. I'm presenting it, and I will talk through a lot of the document. I won't read it page by page, but whatever is contained in here is part of that strategic plan, so I don't think it will be something different. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. Mr. Chairperson, at the, if we're looking at the whole process of the strategic plan, as a department, we started the process in September to look at a very detailed, because we do understand that the strategic planning document is a 5-year document, but on a yearly basis, we need to review it and amend it depending on any changes in the various environments that we work in. So we started that process in September, and after the appointment of the new minister in November, we had a stakeholders forum made up of all the role players, and you would see in our book, in our strategic planning document, the details of that forum and who was represented at that forum to come up with a delivery framework. And this was then presented to our HEDCOM, which is our committee of the DG with provincial heads of departments. So that's the HEDCOM. And this was also presented to the MINMEC, is the forum of the minister and the provincial MECs for noting. And then in January, from the 10th to the 12th of January, the minister held a strategic planning session involving the senior managers of the Department of Sport and Recreation, the provincial MECs, the provincial heads of departments, and the federations, as well as SASCOC. And at that the Minister's Strategic Planning Workshop, we came up with what we see as the document called the roadmap, which was the focus document on those 6 priority areas. This roadmap was then interrogated further and by the department, the various units to populate the document, to bring it at the stage that it is, and I think a copy of that roadmap has been made available to everyone. And this was then submitted, this roadmap was submitted to the minister in February. As I said, there is a copy here for the members as well. What we've done with the framework is that we've aligned the SRSA strategic plan to, we've included all of the roles, the strategic priorities from that roadmap into the SRAC strategic plan, and I'll speak about it later. Mr. Chairperson, this year we were given a new format from the National Treasury to align our strategic plan, which we did, and we have emphasized the outcomes-orientated monitoring and evaluation approach, which is led by the Presidency. The focus is on performance information and the templates that should be used for the strategic plan and an annual performance plan. In previous years, the department did a strategic plan and we did a business plan. But for the first time, like the provinces, we've had to do an annual performance plan, which is in fact your business plan. And our strategic plan reflects the outcomes-oriented goals and objectives against which the department's results will be measured. In the page on introduction, carry on. Mr. Chairperson, our 2011-15 strategic plan continues to focus on our mandate, which is to create an enabling environment to ensure that as many sports in South Africans as possible have access to sport and recreation activities. We also hope to increase international sports successes. And I think it is very, very important, and our minister has articulated his vision as well, that the cabinet reshuffle, which was the deployment of Minister Mbalula to SRAC, has had a significant influence on the strategic direction of the department. And that's also the appointment of the new minister has also informed a change agenda for Sport and Recreation South Africa, and our 2011-15 strategic plan. It encompasses what our sustained agenda is that we've had in the 2009-2013, as well as the 2010-2014 strategic plan. And I've indicated that we've updated it and expanded it to reflect the priority areas highlighted by the Minister as an imperative to transform sport and recreation. We've also considered the priorities of government as reflected in the 2011 State of the Nation Address and Cabinet, as well as the strategic issues identified by the relevant committees of Parliament during 2010. The next slide talks about our vision and mission, and the following slide speaks of the values. The following slide speaks of the Constitution and the Acts, and these are the various Acts and Constitutions that we have to consider in our strategic planning sessions. The public entities that SRAC deals with, and in particular the SA Institute for Drug-Free Sport, which it has been established in terms of the SA Institute for Drug-Free Sport Act of 1997. Boxing South Africa was established through the South African Boxing Act. And the underlying the Act is the Public Finance Management Act, which guides all our financial activities. Part A of the our strategic plan, which talks of the Constitution and the legislation. SRAC has a legislative responsibility to take overall responsibility for sport and recreation in South Africa, and we envisage that this role will be sharpened in line with our new imperatives and in line with the new roadmap, and we will ensure that partnerships that we have with other stakeholders implemented the sport, namely our provinces, the municipalities, as well as the confederations and sports federations, IMC. Furthermore, we also support those responsibilities with the available resources, and the department will also monitor and implement projects and evaluate the results. The National Sport and Recreation Act provides for the department to enter into service-level agreements with national federations to enable us to oversee and monitor the implementation of policies by the national federations, and hence we do transfer payments to the federations for that to happen. The next part A also talks about the legislation. Here we talk about all the bills that we hope to get to be passed and to be legislated. The SA Combat Sports Bill, the second National Sports and Recreation Amendment Bill and the SA Boxing Repeal Draft Bill. The regulations to be promulgated is our safety at sport and recreation events. I think this has come through for discussion on numerous occasions. The fitness regulations, recognition of sports and recreation bodies, and funding of sports and recreation bodies. Mr. Chairperson, I think department at an international level, we have both valuable relationships, and we will continue to strengthen these relationships so that we can procure more resources for sport. Further, we do also note the United Nations resolutions that speak to sport, the role of sport and physical education, as well as the resolutions dealing with sport for development and peace. We are also guided, Mr. Chairperson, by the Olympic Sport Convention, the first of which took place in October 2010, and amongst other things, this convention stated that the National Olympic Committees and governments need to work together to foster the harmonious development of all individuals through sport with the objective of achieving a healthy and physically active society. Mr. Chairperson, we also are mindful that within the change agenda of government that there are various outcomes, and sport and recreation aligns itself to the government's Outcome 12A, and in terms of the Outcome 12, SRSA is a delivery partner for an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service, and an empowered, fair, and inclusive citizenship. And to this end, it will harness the benefits of sport to enrich social capital and ultimately contribute towards an empowered, fair, and inclusive citizenship. We have started the process of implementing cooperative programs with the Department of Arts and Culture, and we'll continue to do this in an attempt to build social capital and foster social cohesion. With Parliament, during the sessions of the Portfolio Committee of Sport and Recreation and the Select Committee, members of Parliament provided the Department with important strategic areas, and these were considered when we updated the strategic plan. Mr. Chairperson, we now go to our strategic imperatives. Our Minister has spoken about the six areas that we have to focus on, and these six areas, the first one was transformation, the second one was school sport, then it was institutional mechanisms, and under institutional mechanisms there were four areas, in fact, yeah, five areas, and we've had mass mobilization. Fourth one, the fifth one was recreation, and the sixth one was funding. I'm just going to very quickly highlight, you know, what needs to be done, what we hope to do in each of these areas. And under transformation, our minister has spoken about the transformation charter. Because of some of these areas require the engagement and the involvement of other stakeholders, we have set up task teams for each of those areas that require other role players to be involved. For example, with transformation, we have involved SASCOC, because SASCOC was in the process of developing a transformation charter. And what we've now done is we've looked at the department's transformation charter that was work in progress. We looked at SASCOC's charter, which is also work in process, and we've merged it to come up with one document, which is still in the draft phase. And we're hoping that once the draft is complete, we will have an opportunity then to present it to the Portfolio Committee, and it will also become one of the documents that will be part of the sports, the National Sports Endava. School sport, we've had a discussion in the last session as well around school sport, but just to indicate that we are working very closely with the sports federations. And Mr. Chairperson, with regard to the meeting between the ministers and the deputy ministers of both sport and the Department of Basic Education, we were given a responsibility of coming up with a joint framework document, and I would believe that that is the document the Chairperson has been making mention of that could have been presented to the cluster meeting. So we have come up with a document We are still in the process of interrogating the documents to look at those areas that we agree to work with together and those areas that are still contentious. So that document is still a work in progress, Mr. Chairperson, that will still be presented to our political principals and perhaps then brought forward to this forum as well. Institutional mechanisms, and under that they are various things, there's facilities. There has been discussion as well by our minister with regard to the facilities with MIG. We've had discussions with local government, with human settlements, because you may be aware that the cities, there's two types of MIG grants. The one that goes to COPTA, which is the full grant, and then there's the one that deals with cities, and that grant is now with human settlements. So we've had discussions with the Minister of Human Settlements, very, very positive interaction with them with regard to how sport and recreation works with them in the provision of facilities, not only through the MIC, but also in terms of spatial planning of human settlements. So this will be a priority area for us as well in this strategic plan and in our operational plans as well. The sports councils, the process of the formation of provincial sports councils has begun. We've had a discussion with SAFCOC around this because they started the process of the formation of sports councils. And there was much debate about who should be the drivers of the sports councils. And I think that has been put in abeyance until we can have further discussion with SAFCOC. But SAFCOC is already working with us on how we move forward with the sports councils. Institutional mechanisms, the academies, we realize that the academy system is not functioning optimally and hinders addressing the demographics of the national team. This also is a responsibility that SAFCOC is taking the lead in, but we are working with them as part of our task teams on this. The academy. Coaching and the development of sporting skills are key elements in any successful sports system. Here again, Mr. Chairperson, SAFCOC is leading on this. There's already been a coaching conference that they've held. They have come up with the draft coaching framework, which is still work in progress. There's much consultation being done. And I think the coaching framework is also going to have a great impact on the way school sport also moves forward. So those discussions are taking place as well. And by November, the draft framework would be ready. So it is still a lot of work and a lot of consultation still taking place with that coaching framework. Okay. Mass mobilization, the minister has...
Excellent, DG. Yes. You are going to have your hands full because you have abdicated your responsibility as the department. And you are outsourcing all your powers to SAFCOC. Let me not preempt this and then conclude, but I will just say, I have seen everybody's head is up because things that you are raising here are a core business of yourself. The norms and standards and everything cannot go anywhere else except yourself. But all the same, we will discuss those things later.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson, for that comment. I think we can discuss it once the presentation is over in terms of how it's going to happen. Maybe it's the wrong impression that's being created that we're abdicating responsibility. But I think, you know, definitely there's a lot of, in terms of our own performance, in terms of resources, there's a lot that sport and recreation is going to do in these areas. And if we look at our business plans, I suppose the strategic plan is at a high level. The business plan, the annual performance plan, will actually articulate the core responsibilities, the targets, the time frames that we set to some of these things. So I think that will give you a clearer picture of our role in this matter. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. Just to continue, mass mobilization, we've spoken about the youth camp, the youth gatherings, the network and programs that can help to empower and promote the inclusion of disadvantaged youth. I think what we need to indicate that the youth camp, whilst it will be about empowering youth in terms of leadership, there will be a strong focus on sport and recreation activities and using sport and recreation activities to empower youth and provide them with the necessary life skills. Job creation, I think this, Mr. Chairperson, in your opening remarks, you alluded to the fact that every department has to ensure, in terms of the pronouncements by our president, that job creation becomes part of the responsibilities of every department. And we are looking at this. Again, we have a task team that looks at this here. Throughout all of our programs, how do we ensure that sport and recreation provides decent and sustainable jobs through within the sport and recreation sector? Mass mobilization, the next strategic imperative. Within mass mobilization, we look at communication as being one of the drivers of mass mobilization. And here we are in the process of finalizing our communication strategy. There has been a communication forum set up with all provincial communicators and ourselves. And we are leading to make sure that the sport and recreation successes and challenges are communicated appropriately. The mass participation, this remains the fundamental base for progressive sport development. We find that there's still insufficient participation of communities in sport across the age spectrum, a lack of access to available resources, insufficient structures to encourage participation, barriers to participation. So this is an area as well that we're focusing on. Recreation, Mr. Chairperson, you know that we are a department of sport and recreation. And somewhere along the line, not enough emphasis has been placed on the recreation part of our responsibility, where recreation provides for more people to play, not only for a competitive or moving up into the competitive sphere, but also for healthy lifestyles, for the purposes of pursuing healthy lifestyles, for leisure time pursuits, etc., as well as the other social benefits that recreation has to offer. So in this vein, we have taken this responsibility to ensure that we provide these opportunities for more people to participate in an attempt to address the challenges also of the high incidence of lifestyle diseases. Funding, I think we've had the discussion in the previous session, and we do attest to the huge disparities in the distribution and disbursement of sport and recreation lottery funding to the different stakeholders in sport, and we will intensify our oversight of the National Sports Federation to achieve maximum impact from public funds. That completes the strategic and the performance environment, Mr. Chairperson. If we're looking at the organization, with regard to our personnel, we have an establishment of 220 posts. The number of posts filled increased from 191 in 2007 to 193 to 2010 and 11, and we expect it to increase to 206 over the medium term. We have a draft functional structure. We've looked at our structure, and we started the process of reviewing the structure to come up with a draft functional structure in 2010, but following the new strategic initiatives of the Minister in 2011 and the roadmap, this has to be reviewed in line with all of the new imperatives that we have. Our building, the department, we are experiencing serious space challenges and health and safety implications within our current building. Our lease agreement comes to an end in October, and this issue is receiving urgent attention. We're working very closely with the Department of Public Works in this regard. Mr. Chairperson, the next slide and the next few slides talks about the strategic outcome-oriented goals. I have indicated that we have incorporated our strategic imperatives, the strategic priorities of the Minister, into our SAT plan, and you will see that the first six goals talk about those strategic priorities. For example, strategic goal one is transformation within school sports, institutional mechanisms, mass mobilization, recreation, funding, and then added to that is what is part of our sustained agenda, which is high performance sports, and then obviously we need to see that, ensure that within our own internal administration that we have effective and efficient administrative support. And goal 9 is well-governed sports community. Goal 10 is inter and intergovernmental cooperation. And this talks about our interaction with other government departments and within the sporting sector in the provinces as well. The resource considerations. The spending focus over the MTS period will continue to be on promoting the mass participation in sport and play, sport and recreation, mainly through the grant and on the development of sport at various levels by supporting school sports, club development, and sports federations. In the 2007-08 year, the expenditure decreased from 5 billion to 1.3 billion in 2010-11. And this was due to the fact that we had the bulk of the money for the 2010 FIFA World Cup and the construction of the stadium. We will also be doing a more detailed presentation around our finances after I've done. The CFO will present, Mr. Chairperson, on our the budget of the department. But in this financial year, we did receive an additional 205.7 million, of which 7.6 million is for improved conditions of service, that's compensation to employees, and 36 million is for increased support to national sports federations, 40 million for increased municipal and accommodation charges, 16.5 million is for the new office accommodation, as I've already indicated, and 5.5 million is for the increased operational costs at Boxing South Africa. Although some of our strategic goals could be pursued through voted funds and the conditional grant, an increase in the baseline allocation is required for us to achieve all of our strategic goals, and I think through the last session this has been made very clear. Mr. Chairperson, the next part of the presentation talked about the various programs. Sport and Recreation has firstly Program 1, which speaks to the administration, internal administration, and it has various sub-programs, the ministry, the Office of the DG, Strategic and Executive Support, Internal Audit, Corporate Services. I'm not going to read this line by line. They have been alluded to in our strategic planning document as well that has been made available. Within Corporate Services, there are various sub-programs like Legal Services, Auxiliary, Labor Relations, Information Technology, Marketing and Communication, Human Resources. And then we have the CFO, the sub-program, which is the Chief Financial Officer, which is made up of two programs, which is Supply Chain Management and Finance. And then we go to Program 2, which is the bulk of our core functions. And Program 2 is Sports Support Services. And the purpose here is to support recognized sports and recreation bodies and public entities and monitor and report on their performance. Under Program 2, we have a sub-program called Sport and Recreation Service Providers. Within this program, we deal with the NGOs, with the sports federations, and our public entities, and we provide support to recognize the sports confederation to enable it to deliver on the government's mandate. And in Program 2, also we have a sub-program which is Club Development, where we work with the sports federations to establish clubs or to revitalize clubs that have fallen by the wayside. Education and Training is also a sub-program under Sports Support Services, where we facilitate, coordinate development and implementation of an education and training strategy. As you're aware, that all of our training initiatives have to be aligned to CETA, which is the Training, Education and Training Authority, and to SACWA. Scientific support. In this sub-program, strategic objective is to contribute to sports development and the transition of mass participation programs to high-performance athletes. And I think this is a program that deals with our talent identification and providing scientific support to major events as well. Program 3 is a mass participation program. The bulk of our funding is contained here, but most of the funding of the mass, within the mass participation program, if you would see in terms of our budget, goes towards, it comes from the conditional grant, and all of this money then is disbursed to the provinces from the conditional grant. Under that, under mass participation, we have two sub-programs, community mass participation, which deals with the strategic objective to increase and sustain the number of new and regular participants. And within this, we have the Siadlala Mass Participation Program, as well as Legacy, which programs that will sustain the legacy associated with the 2010 World Cup. And then the second sub-program is School Sport. And within the School Sport sub-program, we have the Competitive School Sport Program, and we have the School Sport Mass Participation Program. But this year we have an approach where within the mass participation program in the provinces, our the DORA grant, the money that we give to the sports to the provinces, in terms of, we have to come up with a framework. And within this framework, we have indicated various specific areas that the provinces will have to deliver in. In the past, we gave the money to the provinces, and as the chairperson has indicated, we don't know. We say to the provinces they need to use the money in a specific way. There are business plans that they have developed, and sometimes we find they're not spending the money as per the business plan. So this year we were very specific in that grant framework, which is a requirement of DORA. In the grant framework, we were very specific as to how the money would be spent. We've actually put specific percentage of money that would be used for specific areas. And we've also indicated in some cases where exact amounts need to be allocated for very specific programs. And I think also in terms of an integrated approach, we have also indicated very specific areas that funding for training should be across the board. In the past, you have training for community mass participation, you have training for school sport being done separately. Now we've integrated the program so that training is something that's done across the board and will come from the legacy funding. So those are the details that we can discuss later. Program 4 is International Liaison and Events. And this, the purpose here is to coordinate our intergovernmental sport and recreation relations and support the hosting of identified major events. With regard to international relations, we also manage and strengthen government-to-government and multinational relations and the outcomes at both national and international level. And I've spoken about the major events as well. And Program 5 is facilities coordination. The purpose here is to facilitate the provision and management of sustainable sport and recreation facilities. Mr. Chairperson, I think historically we had the BSRC, and this unit was quite involved in ensuring the rollout of sports facilities across the country. But with the advent of MIG and the funding going there, we play a role of actually planning and advocacy and also providing technical support. So those are the two areas that this component focuses on. Mr. Chairperson, with any planning, we also had to find, we had to actually look at what the risks were involved in us rolling out or implementing the strategic plan. And in this vein, the department had a strategic risk assessment workshop on the 11th of March, and we have identified for each of the programs, we've looked at the 5 high-level or critical risks that we face in each of our programs. And if you look at the strategic plan documents, Each unit has identified its 5 high-level risks that we have now factored into the strategic plan. The links to other plans, the conditional grant, we have spoken of this, but with regard to the purpose of the grant, we facilitate mass participation within communities and schools, I've spoken about that, and we've come up with very specific indicators, and we said 5 million people. We want to see 5 million people participating in this program in the 2011-2012 financial year. The public entities, I've spoken of this under the legislation, SA Institute for Drugs Free Sport, and their mandate is to promote participation in sport without the use of prohibited performances, performance-enhancing substances and methods, and to educate sports people on fair play and the harmful effects of doping. Boxing South Africa, their mandate is to administer professional boxing, recognizing amateur boxing and creating synergies between the professional and amateur wings, and to promote interaction between the associations of boxing, boxers, managers, promoters, and trainers. Chairperson, that brings to an end my presentation. And we await any other interest. I'm going to ask the CFO before, I'm not sure if you're going to take questions, but the CFO can present on our budget as well.
I would wish that the CFO to present the budget so that we take everything at a go.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honorable Member. If you look at the budget of the department, we look at the funding for the department, if you look historically. If you look at the funding, you can see that there was a decline of from 2007 and 2008 of 5 million to 5 billion to 1.3 billion in the 2010 and 2011. This makes an average of about 37% decrease. A significant for this decrease is basically just mentioned of the budget that was allocated for the upgrading and construction of stadium for the World Cup. However, over the MTF period, total expenditure is projected to decrease also by 9.9% to 918 million in the 2013-14 financial year. If you look at the budget of the department, the mass participation program conditional grant allocation has been increasing at an annual average of 30% since 2007 and 2008 and 2010 and 2011, due to the inclusion of the amount for school sports from 2007 and the 2010 legacy project from 2007 and 2008. So the allocation of the APP grant is really giving the department a larger portion. Furthermore, in the previous years, we had a value-added tax refund to people amounting to 15 million in 2009 and also 40 million in 2010. If you look at that schedule, it shows you exactly how the department has been funded in the past financial years. If you look at the 5 billion we referred to in the first slide in 2007-08, and if you look at the end of 2013-14, the budget will have decreased so far to 915 million. The next slide, honorable members, is just a graphical overview of our budget in terms of economic classification. If you look at the top graph there, it's basically our mass participation grant. It shows which has been decreasing at an alarming rate to where it is to about 500 million in 2013 and 2014. And the other line in that graph shows you your compensation to employees, your goods and services, and your funding to public entities. Of essence, the graph shows you a larger portion of our budget goes to the provinces. The next graph is just focused on the funding to to municipalities and provinces, and it shows you how the graph was declining, as I mentioned in the first slide, that the budget decreased from 5 billion to 1.3 billion in 2010 and 11. The next schedule, honorable members, is just to show you our budget in the next 4 years in terms of the economic classification compensation. You can see that the graph is increasing steadily as per the inflation indication. The goods is also decreasing. Our dollar grant also is also increasing. Municipalities, you can see that going forward, there's no more funding. It's where I refer to members about the funding for World Cup Stadium. Our public entities is increasing only in 11 and 12 because of the special allocation to Boxing South Africa, and it goes down in 2012 and 13, but it increases again as we go forward to 2013 and 14. For international organization members, we see also that there's no more funding going forward, but this 40 million is the one I referred to you for the FIFA refund of tickets. The last item there is our capital investment for our fixed assets, which also is increasing steadily to 7 million in 2013 and 14. The last slide. Here, I'm just showing the members that this is the budget excluding the grant. You can see that the department actual budget that we are using internally in 2010 and 11, excluding the stadium grant and the mass participation grant, is only 276 million. In 11 and 12, it goes to 350 million. In 12 and 13, to 378 million. And to 13 and 14 to 414 million. So the next slide is just a graphical overview of the budget in terms of the compensation, goods and services, and public entities, and your fixed assets. The next graph, Chairperson, is also just a graphical view on how the budget is allocated in terms of our economic classification, which shows you 27% is for compensation, 40% is for goods and services.
The graphic view of your budget and the dollar allocation. Why didn't you touch it there? Because I want to check those percentages. That's what Suka is talking about. Okay. Yes, that matter.
Maybe here we can request that we make extra copies for this presentation. My problem, Chairperson, they gave us this document.
Yeah.
So surely I will talk that to you because I'm not sure how that document relates to FIFA.
The document that you have is probably from our committee section has given you because we've got to do with the budget vote. What you are saying, which is right, the document that Mr. Matala is presenting has not been given to you, so that you must follow his presentation and be able to ask on that. But as for Polly was right in making us this document for vote 20, so that we must follow that. What has not been handled properly was the presentation from Dr. Matla. Yes. Let's check whether Polly can't get us the copies quickly. Just a minute.
recognizing that in the meantime we can perhaps discuss the duties.
Yeah.
Of the submission.
Yeah. Dr. Madhavan, give to Paul and then you will just take from where you left and then we'll. So in the meantime, and then we'll just interact with the DG. You see, it is putting people a little bit of a disadvantage because what they are doing, they check on the treasury document of vote 20. Therefore, all the things that you are raising, to them, they must just listen at times and do not even have a track of what you said. So it was best that the document be given to us, and as you speak, on page to page, they are able to record whatever they wanted to raise with you. But all the same, Pori will have a copy, and then in the meantime, let's enter it with the DG's input. Donald Lee, number one. Number two, it's Cora. You're very good, Sumaya. Only two hands. Oh. Number one, Donald Lee. Number two is Memale Benya. Number three is Musi. Number four is Grace. Number five is Suka. Number six is Mackenzie. Number seven is Cora. In that order. Memale Benya? Oh, let's give it to number two. Donald, you're number one. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, everybody. Just hold, Donald. Sorry, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just want to indicate that I will not be the only one responding.
Yeah, no.
We have the senior managers from Sport and Recreation.
No. Thank you very much. No, the team, other people have to do with certain portions of their responsibility, so you will share. We will just ask questions, but as and when Sumaya, you will give whoever responsibility it is. Donald?
Chairperson, strategic goal number 10, inter- and intergovernmental cooperation. And the pages are not numbered. That is why it is the strategic goal number 10. Right, you see, there they talk about additional funds. And now I have a few questions. Number one, it says about 40 million is for increased municipal and accommodation charges. Now, does this have to do with the World Cup stadiums, or what is this about? Because that is one of the problems that we have in South Africa now, is for to pay for municipal charges for these stadiums. So, but I see there's an amount of 40 million, and it's for increased municipal charges. Then, I agree that we give some money for support for national sports federations. But Chairperson, if I look at the increased amount, it's 205.7 million rand. And if I look at what is given to sport as such, to sport is given 66% of the budget. The question is, what percentage are we allowed to give to other things than sport, like administration, all these other things? Because there it talks about your pay, and I saw in yesterday's or Sunday Times how much the DG is getting, Chairperson. She's getting quite a lot of money. that is just an aside, Chairperson. But the point is, Chairperson, you know what, Chairperson? And we are giving 5.5 to Boxing South Africa for operational costs. I really want to know what is this for. The percentages given to sport in South Africa, the 40 million to municipal for municipal charges, what it is, I don't know, and the 5.5 for Boxing South Africa. That is my big problem. Thank you, Donald. Nemadlin?
I've lost the page. But because I remember what I wanted to ask. Chairperson, it's on the program on youth camps. I would like to know from the DG that how are they going to measure the effectiveness of the program, and what criteria is going to be used
to actually identify those young people from various sectors that are going to benefit from this program. And lastly, I would like to know whether there are any plans for partnership with the National Youth Development Agency on that program. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mayor Aldwina.
Thank you, Chairperson. My two quick questions. One on the international, and then the question is, I would actually like Sumaya to elaborate further on your international relationship with counterparts. I actually want to check, you know, because we from rural areas, and would want to check as how this is attributed, you know, those relations, how are they connected to, you know, youth in rural areas. If I may give an example, Jefferson, you know, when you are home or elsewhere in the country, you get some children coming to you that look, I'm a girl, I've studied the sports management in UCT, but I would want to further it in America. I've got a scholarship. How are you going to assist me, you know, as a person who is at the parliament? I would like the department to elaborate on that. My other question is on youth steps, Chairperson. Here in particular for disabled youth, I would actually want to know on how you're going to assist them, because, you know, in my mind, when you speak of youth that are disabled, a lot of them cannot use, you know, their limbs, especially the lower limbs. Now, if you say you are going to develop them, it would mean, Chairperson, that you need to get transport for them. And it would not be only just transport, and just an ordinary transport. It would be a transport that is specifically designed for their condition. You know, I want you to elaborate as to what you actually do once you have a full program of developing youth that are disabled. You know, if Chairperson, an example would be, again, that even if you can manage to get them transport, what do you do thereafter? Because they don't just, you know, do their training and practice in all in any type of a sports field. They'll need their own special designed sports field for them. You know, those that cannot use their lower limbs need, you know, wheelchairs that are designed for that type of sport. And thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks, Acting DG, for your presentation, and congratulations for all your knowledge in the project. My question, Chairperson, is on the issue of job creation. Or let me start with this one. I think we'll invite, as a portfolio committee, we'll also invite the department to come and present the detailed operational plan for the year under review, so that we can be able to make oversight over those activities. I think it will be just like the Chairperson. And one other issue is the issue of job creation. Yes, you've indicated that the president of this country has indicated the issue of decent work and job creation. But my question is based on the issue of your personnel. You indicated that the department has an establishment of 220 posts, and surely these are funded posts, but your target is 206 over this week. Okay. Why are you not appointing all the 220 posts, because they're funded posts? And the other issue, Chair, is the issue of Sierra Lala program.
I don't think this Siyadala program is receiving attention, especially in the provinces, because I do have this Siyadala coordinators in my constituency, and in most cases they are receiving assistance from the school, the volunteers from the school. The department is not assisting this program in overall. So I just wanted to check whether how are you going to implement this program of Siyadala change. And the other issue, maybe just to get a clarity on the constitutional mandate of SASCOP vis-a-vis the Department of Sports and Recreation and other federations, because most of your responsibilities, as Chairperson has indicated, you have given SASCOP more responsibilities than the Department and other federations. How is the relationship and what is the constitutional mandate of this SASCOP? And one other issue is the issue of the regulations and the bills. Most of your bills that you are indicating here were supposed to be passed last year in 2010. And we have never passed them. And now we are also indicating them that we are going to pass them this year. I just wanted the assurance on whether we are still going to, in 2012 and 2013, we are still going to talk about this bill. And the other issue came. I'm not quite sure whether my memory says me when. We have already passed this safety and sports and recreational events regulation, according to my memory, but maybe look in your archives and teaching whether these regulations are there or not. And lastly, maybe the quality also of your strategic plan document. The pages are falling apart. This is the new document. I was reading the old one last night. Pages were just falling apart. This one is new, I got it today. Also, pages are falling apart. I don't know what's the problem with the quality of this. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. The document, first and foremost, has got 50 pages. I've numbered them, assisting the department. But I will start with page 11, Chairperson, of the document. It's just to say, Chairperson, that we hope that there will be monitor what they're doing. And they are copied on page 11. Because they are saying they will also monitor the implementation of this project. So I'm saying the capacity will be built up to the extent that they will be able to execute that duty so that we don't have a thumbstack report at an opportune time for this. Surely they will create a unit. I think the person has raised that earlier on to say you would decide if each province is represented at a particular structure or internally at your level, a monitoring mechanism to do that. That's my one thing. Except on page 10, you spoke on bullet 2, you spoke of the partnership that are in place. Other implementers in sport administration such as provinces. I think Chairperson here, the department is a request that this partnership should be a reality. It should not be just a buzzword. I'm raising this matter because the human settlement is continuing to build structures, units, or houses in the absence of facilities. You know, they just throw it in houses. I don't think there are plans to have recreational facilities, space for that. So I would want that you try to come in with your counterpart on the matter of the partnership. It's a real serious matter. You can go to the metro in PE, how the Tamasugan congratulate the commandant. But the reality of the matter, from nowhere, if you speak recreational facility. Well, I'll not talk about the regulations, but I think public creators covered me there. Except to say that on the two types of grants that you alluded to, I think you spoke on page 19. I think we need more clarity on these two grants so that we want to monitor them, because there is that concern. We just speak of the MIG, which is being utilized by, and such. Would want to have this one on the city so that if you can get more clarity on what you are raising. A generic question, Chairperson. The expenditure of the child per capita, what is it in sports? If you talk of development of sports, the expenditure per capita per child, how much do you spend? Because you raise here 5 million, you want them to be active in sports. In real terms, what does that mean in relation to what I'm raising? That's a general question. Equally to education, they always have that. So I'm saying I would want us to know from yourself. My penultimate question, Chairperson, would be around the academy on page 20. What were your challenges? Can you just explain to us what to say there were challenges and not? Because we have been identifying these problems, raising these issues about the academy. They are too far from the real issues of our disadvantaged communities. Do we get an understanding of the internal strategy on that? Because we first diagnose and then we chore. Can you elaborate a little bit on that so that you are very clear on what you are talking? On the issue of the job creation, chapter in the impact. This is a very loaded statement, a serious statement as the ruling party. Now, I want just some clarity. I think this question relates to page 25. I know it's on page 21, this issue of the job creation. Now, I just want to check from yourself. Your department is having about 220, and you are moving towards 191, my memory serves me well, 193, but you would be at 206. Now, in real time, what does that mean? Because I want you also to dissect to me as to say, because out of these staff complements you have, so many are permanent, and so many are acting, starting from yourself, going down. Because I understand you want to do a new organogram so that we have a new department. What is your baseline so that we know who's acting and who's permanent? I think we need you to elaborate a little bit on that one so that we're very clear, and whether would that have an impact on the job creation so that it's not just a word. Chapter to the wellness in terms of recreation. I think we are the minister. We are not paying serious attention because the lifestyle is not very right. So I've got the obesity, you may have problems and so on. I would want to check the departmental, because you've never raised it very sharply in the document around recreation. You emphasize sports more than rather. So I'm saying we need more some information around that one. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, even from the DA side, those were quality questions.
Yes.
I know, DA, you will agree. But, Sumaya, let me just complicate the matter for you. In what we're agreeing with the DA, on your 220 staff, in 2007-2008, you move up to 191. In 2010-2011, you go to 193. Are you saying in 12 months you can only employ two people? Then you move up to 206. I just want to understand the logic behind it.
Because one thing that Comrade Grace raised, Sumaya, is that these posts have been funded. But I can see you in a year, Dr. Singh. 2007-2008, 191. 2009-2010, 193. It means you have only employed two people in a year. Then in 2010-2011, you want to go to 206. And I am saying you must link this snail pace of movement, link it to the aspiration of the president that all government vacancies, because time and again it's an issue of capacity, because the personnel is not there, a requisite personnel. I would like to make a challenge to Sumai, and the committee makes this same decision, that in the light of the president's call, and then would like the department to complete the 220, not 206, so that when we speak there, we must speak with authority, with poise, and say, our contribution, Comrade President, to your state of the nation has been, we've filled all our posts in this watershed yet, in which you have said all government posts are going to be filled. I want us to go in that way, but I want you to tell me, what is the rationale of employing two people in a 12-month? And then from there, employ another from 193 to 206, you add with four or five. Yes. 13. Yes. And then what is this that makes you to jump from 2% to 98%? Because that 13 is a huge jump as compared to a two people employed in 12 months. And I just want to, I was just adding on what Suka raised, because a very interesting part, and your obligation. The statement of the president is a directive to all of us. And then I will just want to urge you to a little bit elevate that and be able to make him to tell the truth when he says all the department vacancy posts are going to be filled this year. Kora, you're the last person. Oh, Mackenzie, you're coming to you because, oh, yeah, it's Mackenzie, and then the last person is Kora. Yes, Mackenzie, you.
Thanks, Chairperson. A lot of it has been covered, but just I'd like to talk about the strategic imperatives under institutional mechanisms, 3.4 coaching. Say that coaching and development of sporting skills are key elements in any successful sports system. I think we all agree, but what are you doing about that? What coaching? Is this only from SASCOC, or is there some other coaching that you are directing, or is this by a federation? I'd like to know something about that, please. Just I agree with Suka. I'd like some clarity on the issue of recreation. Because when the minister spoke, he made it very clear that he wasn't really talking about recreation. He was talking about developing talent. But I don't see a change of allocation of funds reflecting that statement. So are you going to change that? Is that a strategic shift or not? I think we need some answers on that. Under resource considerations, under the strategic goal number 10, Donald spoke about part of it, but you've got, it says, spinning focus of the MTF period will continue, etc., and you say at various levels by supporting school sports, club developments, and sports federations. And I noticed that budget has gone up quite significantly. Have you already identified which clubs and which federations that you are putting these substantial funds to? And then finally, Chairperson, I don't know if you want me to talk about the health side, or do you want me to leave that to the next speaker?
You can.
You sure? You don't want me to leave that to the next issue?
No.
All right. It wasn't in this document, but I noticed that seems to have fallen through the gap, but the JJ touched on it briefly with the minister. The issue of love life and the game. I just want to say, Acting DG, that over the next 3 years you've allocated 230 million rand to Love Life. And that's 211 to 12, 212, 30 to 14. I think this committee has expressed themselves very strongly on this matter, that we have a serious problem with that. And I noticed that the Sports Federation's percentage has now, because of the criticism last year, has increased compared to Love Life, but Love Life is still there and growing fairly substantially, and I don't think that's the type of money our youth and who need recreation and sports can tolerate. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Let me just, I always tell convicted members that my biggest weakness is to record. That is my biggest weakness. At times it's detrimental to me, because I could even remember something that unwittingly you have done to me. Now, when Mr. McKenzie raises this point, we have engaged the late DG on this matter vigorously, and the late DG gave us a guarantee. But Chairperson, this a matter, we're discussing it, but now that we have clearly pronounced and say, let it go to health, we will give it to health, because it has never had any cost implication to us, because it was the Kaiser Foundation and all these other things. And then we said to us, it is making a joke out of us, because we have the impression that the money that we have for sport is big, yet that allocation, which is two times more than the allocation for federation, goes to Love Life. So we agree with the DG that get rid of Love Life, give it to health, because to us it doesn't have any impact it does to sports. The outcome of this Love Life thing doesn't have. That if they want to talk about condom and the campaigns about the AIDS and all that, we will help them. But let that be located with the health. And then, because we even showed the DG that the money that Love Life gets from health, and the money that they get from social development, and the money that they get from sports and recreation, in total, is even bigger than the money of any metro in this country. And we can't allow that kind of a situation to go on. If there are people who are comfortable about it, let them be comfortable. But the message that we will talk to the coming minister, as he has arrived, we will be consistent in this message that we don't want this program of Live Life within the sport. Let this program of Live Life go to anybody who's prepared to take it, but with us, we're not comfortable about it. And unfortunately, it will have unintended consequences. Because if these members don't actually stand up and say, I do not support this budget, especially on the line function of Love Life, the ANC will support that move. Definitely will support that move. Because I think it has been something that we've been preaching for some time. I think we need to be convinced otherwise that we have to stay with this matter of Love Life beyond this time. So I'll just say that, because Mackenzie's right. We've engaged the DG. If Prof. Singh can recall, and the DG was convinced that we don't want this program. And we are saying we don't want this program here. Let it go elsewhere. Thank you very much. Cora.
You know, it comes to you at last when all these things have been said, and some of them are gone. But let me, in any event, just come. On page 11, DJ, you say the NCSRA provides for the department to enter into service level agreement with National Federation. Now, how do you monitor this agreement? Because I want to cite two incidents. At Stellenbosch, there was a stampede there. In Utnake, people had lighted died there. Now we have a law which we've made, safety at sport. How do you take the federation on board and to understand the meaning and to see that this is implemented to the word? Let's come to the issue of this. Many things which you give to Transcorp. Transformation, school sport, that document which Transcorp produced, and you also have the document. You know, the first problem which I have with Transcorp is that Transcorp is not transformed. Now, how can you expect Transcorp to develop a transformation charter while they need to be transformed? Do you really see them bring a document? Because if your house is not clean, you can't go and clean another house. You must start with your own house. I don't know whether I'm extending the mandate of Sascock. Because to me, Sascock has to do with high performance. Sascock has to deal with preparing teams. Now, they are still struggling with those mandates. Now we add more mandates onto them. Do we think that they'll ever be in a position to do those things? The issue of facilities, DG. You once had a young man here who was appointed to be the coordinator of facilities and what they did. We requested from that man to give us a detailed report of facilities in the country. We have not received that one up to now. Now, when I look at this strategic document, I'm asking myself, does the department have the capacity to implement what is on the strategic document? I don't know these vacancies we are talking about, because the last time what I know is that there were still vacancies which were supposed to be filled by the department. Now, I don't know this which I mentioned here. Are they speaking to those which were not filled? You correct me if I got it wrong. We talk in terms of this academies also, which you also give to Spark, to Sascock. I want to be convinced that what is happening, what is the department going to do when it gives all these things to Sascock? And I think that's why Sascock is running around as if a headless chicken. Because things which they are supposed to deliver, they don't deliver. Let's come to coaching. Coaching and development of sporting skills are key elements in any system. We agree. How do we use our lessons in this? Because there are so many of them who are unemployed there. And we speak about job creating. Do we draw them in and say that, look, what can you contribute in this? Because some of them, they've got this certificate. If you even look at our soccer in the country, I think it's only two teams. Most of them, their coaches are from abroad. Now we talk about job creation. Now this the department is supposed to monitor those things. Do we question them? Let the rest of the case there. I think I'll come further when they present.
No, if you finish correctly, then I went up to finish around first one, because the situation is going to be complex, going to be very high, and then something wrong. After you, I want to close it and we'll discuss about the issue.
But in addition to what Cora is saying, I want to be honest with you. I have read this document.
I don't have anything less than 30 minutes to can ask you questions and engage on this matter. I think I would need that kind of an amount of time, because something that is in the strategic things. And others, there's a lot of reputation that Dr. Singh you would see going on there. And then, but I will not speak on but I want to add on what Comrade Kora has raised. The implication of what Comrade Grace raised of last year, these bills were supposed to come to the committee. Now, you know what are the implications of those bills to the committee? The committee is sitting with money for the public hearing that we have not scheduled, and therefore it is seen as ineffective committee because we are budgeting also just like you. And then as soon as they said there's a combat bill coming, then the committee in the beginning of the year now will budget for all these bills that are reflecting on your strategic plan and say we are waiting for four bills that are going to come. We're going to have five provinces in terms of the ruling of the court. We must have at least out of nine, five provinces are saying it's minimum. And out of five provinces, if the region has six regions, we must go to four regions. If a region has eight regions, we must go to six to five regions. Yes. Now, you can imagine the amount of money that we're budgeting there, and at the end, it has this implication. So if the bill is not coming now, let us not put in the strategic plan, because your strategic plan directs us to position ourselves in how do we begin to monitor you on the things that I will be coming to Parliament. The last point is that what Comrade Kora is raising, Sumaya, is such a serious matter. We want you to tell us just in short. Have you checked the implications of the pieces of legislation that were passed in this House? Let me give you an example. The example that is given you. Our federation in organizing events that are more than 5,000 people in that event, are they complying with safety measures that are reflecting on the Sports and Recreation Safety Act? The other thing is that, why do we ask you, are we passing the acts in this parliament? What is the implication of these acts to you? So that when you come back, we must review those and say there are problems around that. The Sports Act, up until now, there is a proliferation of what Kora is talking about of foreign national coaches. And the Act says, for a team or for a national federation to employ a foreign national, whether it's a CEO or a coach, you have to give evidence that there is no such a person in the country who can occupy that position. But I know, Sumaya, that there were shortcomings around the legislation when it comes to a club level. Now, that amendment cannot take a long time before it comes so that we close that gap, because from time to time, there will be that problem of clubs undermining the Act, because the Act doesn't talk about clubs, it talks about federation. But what are the implications of the pieces of legislation that we pass in this House in as far as your assessment on the implementation of those pieces of legislation? We have not also, as Parliament, called every federation to say, what are the implications of the pieces of legislation that we have gone around on the public hearing when we were doing the Act? Now that the Act is in place, what is the impact and what are the issues there? I see you intimidating me, McKenzie. What do you want to say?
I just want to agree with you. A case in point, and it comes from Kora, is that Maritzburg United let Lindor go 10 days ago. Yesterday he was hired by Arrows. to let their foreign guys go.
Yes.
So just, it's just spinning wheels.
Yes. And we want it to stop. And then I will show you, Sumaya, when we come, that all 16 kings are not having anything less than 5 foreign players. And when you take 5 multiplied by 16, it's a huge number of foreign players there. When you take our own South African coaches in the PFF, we're only having 2 black coaches there. And then when it is South African, out of 16, we're having only 5. And it can't be correct. And all these other things, there are experts of lawyers who, of course, their agenda is to undermine this government. Part of the lawyers that I know in this country is to go and look at the loopholes and undermine this government. The judges pronounce as it said. And they say, when you pronounce on the judges, and then it is said, no, but don't encroach on another way. But judges pronounce and want to tell us what kind of a policy direction that we, Parliament, we have to take. After you have given us, I said, no, it is wrong, you must do it in this way. I think we have to talk, it's time that we must talk, and if the judiciary undermines us, we must also undermine them, and they must feel how it is to be undermined by another house. Because that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. I think that I want you to respond on those things, but I'm honest with you. There are many other things. Kelly, I have raised this matter with you, and then it's reflecting again my sister here. I have refused that the mission of the department, the mission of the department is to maximize access and order. We have agreed with you in principle that when you look at this strategic plan, on your right hand side, on the core business function there, you will see there, it is written the way we've been saying it should be written. It says, in the promotion of equitable access. One thing that we have to do here, it can't just have our mission, is to make access. You can make access to those advantaged communities and it means nothing. But when you talk about equitable access, it means you are doing a transformation here, which is a directive from the Constitution that is pronounced right down there. On that paragraph, there's one where it's speaking about the Constitution and the legislative mandate. But that Constitution speaks about equity, access, and all those other things. And we want this mission to be a mission that shows people that it is not just to maximize access and then that's it, and development. But it is to maximize that access and also make that access to be equitable. It must reflect the democracy of this country as and when we are dealing with that. But it's not a big deal on the mission there. It's not a big deal. It's not a transmission. But those are the some of the things that I have raised here in this document, the issue of the white paper. The white paper was never given to us. And then, fortunately, I have discussed with Sumaya, and then she said, no, they are busy doing that document. We'll get that document in due course. It was never with us. And then the last point, I'm trying to make them condense them a little bit. The last point, Sumaya, transformation, school sport, academies, sports council. Me and Katie and Norma know that sports councils are a social movement that lobby government, and which government lobbies also to deal with other matters where we want to pronounce those issues. And therefore, sports councils, invariably by their nature, Katie, sports councils are controlled and they are funded by municipalities, and in the province, the provincial sports council is funded by the MEC. In the national level, the national sports council
is funded and helped by the Department of Sports and Recreation, and it can't be an entity of SASCOC. I disagree with that one, and I want us to close this chapter of glorifying SASCOC. SASCOC can't be an architect and be a bearer of the sports conference. And if there is a discussion that we have to get into with SASCOC, we will be pleased to be part of those discussions, but we are not going to allow this discussion. If SASCOC takes the sports conference to mind, you are having this white paper. If SASCOC has a certain view on the white paper, it's going to tell sports council, this is our view that we have taken as an organization, and therefore you cannot be going out of this view. And yet we want different views of social and the clubs and the people in the society there to come through this sports council to the minister and the department. It can't be through SASCOC. I disagree with that one. The transformation. Correct, right. I think Sumaya will recall when Rashbant was still the minister there. In fact, he called me. He called me, Rashbant. He said, Chairperson, they have distorted what you said. It was not in the context of saying there are Indians and whites there who have no clue of transformation. I'm sure you remember that the big role of the transformation. But the issue of the transformation cannot be given to SASCOC. Transformation is the responsibility of the department to transform this country in terms of the law, in terms of the constitution, in terms of the ethos, and how we're intending the sports to look like. But if we're saying, tell us how do you want to see the sports look like, and you, SASCOC, do with that kind of a thing, SASCOC is going to give us something contrary to what we are expecting. And again, on that one, we say, no, Mr. Singh, let's move a little bit slow. Of our own mandate, constitutional mandate of the department to deal with issues of transformation. And then we said, let us give it to SASCOC. SASCOC must pronounce it better than ourselves. No, I don't agree with that one. SASCOC cannot deal with issues of transformation. We must deal with issues of transformation. You must bring the documents to us. SASCOC must input on your vision and mission as a department to ask what kind of a society you'd like to see, as pronounced by the ruling party, what kind of a society that ourselves want to see, what kind of sport that we want to see, non-racial, non-sexist, and a democratic sport. And SASCOC cannot be a champion of that kind of effort. They don't belong to SASCOC. School sport, Sumai. Do you know, as soon as the school sport competence goes to SASCOC, Andrew Serra will quickly close that business and take back the school sport, because it means what was the resolution of the ANC in Polokwane around the issue of school sport? We have given it to other people that were not directed by that resolution. It is that school sport must go to the Department of Sport and Recreation, not to SASCOC. You must read that resolution. I've seen the ministers put it in this strategic statement. It says, school sport must go to the Department of Sports and Recreation. And human movement and physical education must go to education and part of curriculum. And that's what we said. That's what we said to the minister when we met with her about 2 weeks ago, and say, but this doesn't say that. Now, when you come back to us and say, no, we want to give it to SASCOC, don't create problems for yourself. It's going to be a major problem if you do that, because everybody is going to read this document. It has become a public document now. And this document says school sport also. SASCOC is going to be having a larger voice on the school sport. It is there inside the SMA. It is there in that document. Now, academics. SASCOC must deal with issues of academics. Again, can't be SASCOC that deals with academics. The norms of standards, norms and standards of academies. What kind of, if we're saying something is an academy, Professor Singh, it must be you who set up the norms and standards and say, for you to pass a test
of being an academy. This is what we want as a department to see, that you are an academy. And that can only be done with the director of coaching in SAFA, or director of coaching in cricket, director of coaching in rugby, because SAFCO will never have an idea of the level of coaching and what is required in rugby and as far as the coaching requirements are concerned. The business for SAFCO is very clear from the Act. It's team preparation and the high performance. And let us give them that responsibility that they've been given by the Act. If there is no team that they have to prepare to go to the Olympics and all that, let SAFCO not be given another responsibility on that. But what is shocking to mine, these members are not going to agree with the element of vote that is going to be given to SAFCO. For the first time, we are going to object in the House and say, we don't support that vote because the money that is given to SAFCO, SAFCO has not accounted in terms of the Act. It says in every year, by the 1st of February, every year, all federations, including SAFCO, they have to give a written report and even a verbal report to the Sports and Recreation in Parliament about the activities. Instead, they're boasting around and go around. They are not coming to Parliament and ducking and diving. This time, we wonder who's going to vote for the appropriation for them to get the money. If they have to be grounded, we will do that. And then we're gladly to help them, because I do not think I'm going to open up the debate. And I'm going to say, on element of SAFCO, the ANC is not going to support that element. And other parties are going to say that, because we're going to raise our view that we are a committee that will never set a precedent for anybody to undermine. It doesn't matter who that person is. If you have to come to the committee, you have to come to this committee, and even if you are a little god, but because you've been given that responsibility, come, and we must explain issues to us. But for SAFCO, we're not going to support that appropriation for SAFCO. I was just giving you those things, and then you can quickly conclude.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I think a lot has been said, but I think first and foremost I need to be very clear on very specific things that the chairperson has raised now at the end. I think we've given everybody a copy of this roadmap for optimal performance, and a lot of the discussion here has come out of our new strategic imperatives: funding, school sport, the academies, sports council, transformation. And if we have to go through this document, Mr. Chairperson, you will understand that we are leading. We are leading, and we're taking responsibility for all of those issues. And at no stage, we have SAFCO as a partner, we have provinces as a partner, we have, and we put in other delivery partners as well, civil society, etc. So if you give me an opportunity, I can quickly go through some of the things so that it allays any fear that SAFCO is going to take over the running of sport and recreation South Africa. But definitely, SRSA is the lead. If we have to look at this document, Chairperson, I'm looking at the roadmap to optimal performance and functional excellence. We did make copies available to everyone as well. If we have to go to the first, if you go to page 3, it talks about transformation. It's very clear we've got the outputs, we've got the key activities, we have the responsibility, and we have delivery partners, our timelines, the budget, and any other comments. I'm only going to focus on the issues and then the responsibilities. The whole issue of transformation, it gives you the key activities, what's going to happen. And if you look at this, Mr. Chairperson, on page 3, SRSA is the lead. We are the responsibility for transformation. The charter, we are taking responsibility, and we have other delivery partners there as well. And then if we continue on page 6, there's a whole issue of school sport. On 7 is the implementation plan. You will see under the responsibility, everything there has to do with SRSA. I mean, we're taking responsibility for that, Mr. Chairperson. There are areas where we've got the Department of Basic Education on page 9, and that talks to all the things that the chairperson has alluded to, the issue of physical education, etc. that's DOV, and we've put it down as their responsibility, although I think we will work with them on these matters. Under institutional mechanisms, you've got the issue of facilities on page 10. The implementation plan is on page 11. There again, SRSA is taking the lead. And just to answer some of the questions, there was a query around the facilities audit. We've put it down as an output, and we've got timelines there. You must realize, Mr. Chairperson, that these are the new, this is part of the change agenda for sport and recreation as well. And then on page 13, we've got the sports council. Page 14 talks about the implementation plan.
Let me just, members, let's go to the strategic plan, page 24. And on page 24, let us go to goal number 3, institutional mechanism. Maybe I am reading this, Maya, out of context. When you read that, it says, provided funds available from FRSA for facilities are merely for advocacy, coordination, and training purposes. Sports and Recreation has engaged the Department of Corporate Governance Human Settlement to ring-fence allocation for sports facilities. New funds will be required for the coordination and management of sports venues such as the 2010. Although provincial sports councils are funded through the legacy conditional grant, additional funds will be required for this event. Then it says here, provincial sports councils and coaching systems with SASCOC, the main driver. And if you say with SASCOC main driver, it means SASCOC says this is a road that we have to travel. I'm the driver. And then how do I drive when I arrive at a camp? And then if we collapse because I'm a reckless driver, so that is going to go through. This is what we are talking about. And the main driver is the Department of Sports and Recreation. It cannot be a SASCOC the main driver. Because as soon as we make SASCOC the main driver, we're making this animal to be bigger than anybody and drive the way it wants to drive. That is where we members are raising an issue around Koshi. You see where does it come from. Yes. I agree with you. The intention is not that. But here, that intention is here understood the way I understand it in reading from this document.
If you try to take a point further, even in the input of the DG, this thing of SASCOC, it came from your mouth. And one took it that look, people can remember, capital said that you are taking your responsibility. Because really, if this is the situation, and as I say to you, that entity is not transformed. How can you expect them to give you a transformation standard document? Because they need to be transformed first. So this is the reality we are talking. And I've been to those offices of SASCOC. I know what I'm talking about. Thank you. Thank you, Smile.
You can go. They were just reading that quickly. No, I'm sorry. You can press and speak.
Mr. Chairperson, there was a question around the youth camps. Also, again, that is one of the new strategic imperatives. With regard to the questions that were asked with regard to the targets and measuring the impact, etc., I think that also is in our document of the roadmap on page 14. We are still busy finalizing the concept document for the youth camps. And until such time the document is finalized, we will not be able to give the details of as requested of this committee. But we've considered all of the responses and the questions that come that came that will help us then to incorporate that, especially around the issues regarding the disabled participants and disabled youth as well. Can I just ask Prof Singh then to speak about some of the issues so long?
You can ask some of the questions. Yeah.
Sanjay. I think in beginning, I'd just like to point out that with regards to transformation, which is the number one priority, the department is definitely leading the whole thing. There's no way that SEPCOC is giving us a charter, creating a charter. The department is responsible, and the minister states me solely in charge of producing that charter. And we are there at the moment. We have a first draft. That we are engaging with SEPCOC because they work with the federations. So we are engaging with them as a partner in this, but the department is driving it. The transformation charter will be eventually signed off by the minister. And so too will the other things that we are speaking about, the priorities such as the coaching framework, etc. I do understand that in the phrasing of the responsibilities in the strategic plan, that it turns out that SEPCOC is responsible, but really the department is responsible because we are also partly funding those activities. So it is clearly the department's responsibility. I think some of the other issues relating to the academies and the sports councils, with the academies, what we have tasked SEPCOC, and not SEPCOC alone, the task team. SEPCOC has been dealing with academies in the past. So they've done the research in the past and the status document of academies and so forth. So what we're doing now is, with the new task team, where they are members of SRSA as well, we're asking them to produce a blueprint for academies. And that will be presented again at the National Sports Endowment as well. Framework for the academy. And only once we move forward will we say, okay, this is how it's going to happen in the future. So at the moment, we are utilizing the services of SEPCOC because they have the information, they have the contacts and the networks with the academies. We are all in agreement that there's just no system in this country at this moment in time. There are private academies, there are provincial academies, there are academies with boards, there's academies that function very differently and that are accountable to nobody, although they utilize state resources. So we are saying that we need a new blueprint so that all academies are regulated in one system. The sport councils also, we do have a debate at national level in the department on this, and there is the view, as expressed by Chairperson, that sports councils are structures of civil society, and therefore they belong by themselves, they regulate themselves, and they serve an advisory function. So the actual housing of sports councils is not resolved at this moment in time. The task team is looking into the issue of sports councils as well. I think there are one or two, with regard to international relations, yes. At this moment in time, we just had this year, for the first time, a workshop with international relations persons from the provinces. So what we are trying to do is to come up with a strategy for international relations related to sports relations. This hasn't been in place in the past, and then also to develop a policy, now not the internal one for the department, but a policy relating to sport and recreation, the sector, and what is the role of international relations there. And clearly, exactly what the honourable members have pointed out, how do we leverage on government-to-government relations? What are the things that we can use for developing in particular regions, as members have mentioned, in rural areas, and already in coming up with a strategy, we are finding that we are able already to help some of the federations where in the past they were not able to get assistance by linking them up with certain international partners. So that is on the way, and I think the target, if I can remember correctly, is October, we would have an international relations policy, but
even before their policy can be finalized, we are looking at undertaking certain study tours as a department with its stakeholders to certain countries where some of the officials, it could be the deputy minister, the minister, the late DG, have traveled to before, and they've seen certain things. And so these study tours are meant to enhance areas, for example, and strengthen areas of school sport where we can get assistance of certain countries like the UK.
If there's anything that's not for me to increase the quality of the value, they can go quickly.
I think we need to respond to the issue of personnel as well. So that's Mr. Zani. She can speak on the personnel issue.
About the lack of movement in terms of filling vacant posts. I want to believe that we do fill vacancies in the department, especially at lower levels, but I don't want to call it a problem. I want to say that if a position is filled and is filled by an internal candidate, we will still have a vacancy in our establishment if the person applies for a position within. And it creates a promotional opportunity for our people. But when you look at on paper, it's like we're not filling the vacancies. We do fill the vacancies. Maybe at some point we need to come up with a report. In fact, we did submit a report like that in the department last year to the minister to say this position became vacant on such a date and it was filled. By date, but unfortunately it was killed by an internal candidate. When you look at the figures will not reflect a change in terms of filling the vacancy. However, I must say to this committee that there are positions that we are not really happy with as corporate services, where there is no movement. We follow the processes and we fill the vacancies, but at a higher level, those recommendations are not approved. I want us to mention the position of Chief Director MPP, which the members are very much aware of. That position has still not been filled, although we finalized the process from our side. But when it came at approval level, the recommendation was not approved. So the position is still vacant, it's still in the process of being filled again. The figures, the difference in figures, because members were worried about the fact that there's 206, there's 220, there's 193. 193 is the baseline. We said the baseline is 193, and then there were additional posts, and then the total establishment was 120. I just want to touch on the issue of job creation, which one of the members did mention, because I think we play a role in terms of creating jobs. And the chair has mentioned, in fact, the same member also mentioned the issue of volunteers and the coordinators for the Siyadala program. And that's why we feel we can see the agency. If I may just take the members back, this program was not a government program before. That is why you find things that are not actually regulated in the public service, like volunteers. Volunteers are not regulated in the public service. The issue of stipends that is given, you know, to people who are coordinators or activity coordinators, it's not a government coordinated program. It was taken from the former sports commission. It was just taken to the department. And then in the department, it was like a monkey that we are not able to deal with because we are a public service. We cannot deal with stipends, things like that. Our salaries are regulated by DBSA. We job evaluate, we determine the level of the post through equate and job evaluation. But these stipends were not, they were just handpacked by people who were in a private sector. But we are trying to change that, honorable member.
we motivated with Treasury that on the conditional grant money, we must give, each province must be given 6% of the conditional grant money. I'm thinking of big provinces like KwaZulu-Natal, where they get a big chunk of the budget on conditional grant. It's like a lot of money that they will get for job creating. But there was a resistance from the side of provinces. How are we to this committee can even call in provinces and hear from them why they are not utilizing that 6% of their budget? Why are they not giving the incentives? Why are they not coming up with sustainable jobs? They gave us their reasons, which to us were really, no, we're not happy. Where would they say, no, the MEC has the delegation, so the MEC do not want to approve those factors, but there's really nothing we can do. But I, in the last HEDCOM meeting we had in Devon, we asked them to populate a template which we developed just to check what the problems, what problems are they experiencing in making sure that they employ people. They have a lot of money towards job creation, but I really don't want to answer for provinces here. Thank you.
No, we will not be a conveyor belt for provinces that do not comply. I think we've raised it with the minister. We would like to hear provinces on this matter, and then we'd like to hear provinces on the response to the request by people who are dealing with their conditional grant, and to an extent that that delay creates a audit query to the department, which has nothing to do with the processes of disbandment of those funds and all. I think we are going to, by virtue of being a conditional grant, the DORA grant, we have, in terms of the Treasury and the PMMA, have the right to call those that we are giving money to explain to us those issues. I think we have not been doing that. We've been very gentle and all that, but it's affecting on us, and then there's no need to be a smart guy when you see that there are things that are not happening in a proper way. But thanks very much. Sumaya, we didn't ask you about the money that you're requesting to the department. The department is requesting the portfolio committee to go to the National Assembly and support the request that you have put forward in terms of your budget. But we have not discussed some issues that are raised by the Auditor General in the annual report, which are part of the things that we have to carry when we argue out this budget. So I think in next time we must have this, not during the election mode, so that we must be able to have all those other things, bring them together, and when we do a report to Parliament, we must even say the explanation given to us on saying, Sumaya, you have fruitless and wasteful and unauthorized expenditures in the department. What is this that is going to make you not to have a similar situation in this budget? Because in the last budget, the Auditor General raised fruitless, wasteful, and unauthorized expenditures. Now you are coming today and ask another budget. What is this that you are saying to this committee is going to make things different from what they were in the last financial year? So those are the questions that we have to ask, so that we must be very clear that indeed there will be a change, and therefore you are deserving this money as a department. And We'll see later. You see, Sumaya, the SASCOC, as the prof put it, what is the role of SASCOC? I would create a crisis, prof, and say, on issues of the announcement by the minister, Netball being the only organization, or two of them, that were eloquent and very clear on issues of transformation, far better than SASCOC. Why is Netball being a leader of this task team, and then instead we're giving it to SASCOC, which has no clue of what is going on there?
just complicate deepening this crisis. Because if I were you, bro, I would say Samsung doesn't deserve people that the minister captured, the people that captured the mind of the minister is netball and these other people. And therefore, we are assigning you to be the lead on this task team, on this matter, rather than Samsung. I would say that, but all the same, it's over. But thank you very much, Sumaya. But tomorrow, we'd like one or two people to remain and in the public hearings, because there'll be other things that are going to be raised in the public hearings and tomorrow, so that at least must be able to quickly come and link with you and see how all this is. At times, we'll make a conference to that person and say, no, Chair, this has been done, and therefore help us to give accurate information to people that are going to do the presentation. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yes,
sir. First, I can now go to check on the presentation on the budget. But remember, you are taking copies and then you put up
the Yeah, the time has gone. And then I do not, I do not think there will be a trade clash on those things. We can also call them and then explain that to us. But the principal thing is that the strategic planning table, but the issue of the budget, and then would ask Sumaya to allow Jate Matala to come and talk to us on those things, because the argument that is advancing on those cake would be argument that we can advance in requesting for more resources on this. So would ask him to come again, because already I'm sure the bell is ringing. Other people are not going to eat and nam in the soki, so I'm going. But thank you very much for everybody, and then thanks. It was a little bit of a tight program, but there's nothing that we can do. Thank you so much.
Yeah, off the record. Okay.